about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
And you're gonna see something here tonight that when I saw it, my stomach turned. Have we got this bad off? Has it come to this?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah! Woo!
Now, listen, that's how we start the show. Loose and Goose. 591 Rock, 591 Roll. Give us a call. Let us know what other words you'd like to rhyme. That's the premise today, right? We're doing rhyming words, guys. Give us a call, huh? Crunch and Munch. There's another choice. These are the type of things we're talking about. Right? Let's do this thing.
Die, 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 I say die, die, die. I mean die, 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 then die faster. Kill him from the ground, kill him from the sky, then go die, you zombie bastards. And now.
You got this? I'm going to go not smoke pot.
Our feature presentation.
That's an announcement that needs to be made.
Right.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:34, and it's Monday, the 13th of January.
So Lisa says that that whore Whitney Cummings got her sick. Is that what she's claiming?
Well, Whitney Cummings did have the black plague when she was
she
in.
Did.
And yeah. She was sitting closest to Lisa.
And I think they did make out at one point during a song, too.
Might have just been your imagination.
Oh, really? I was hoping I saw that. I thought I might have seen that. That's too bad. Yeah, that's the thing, and this is we always talk about this, is how often have you heard people say, but I'm not contagious.
Yeah, well, she didn't know Whitney Cummings.
Right.
She said, to her credit, she said, stay away from me.
Right.
But then it didn't help Lisa.
Right, exactly.
And you never know, you know, she might not have been, but I don't know what that point is that you cross when you're actually not contagious.
Yeah, and how can you tell? You can't. You're just guessing, right?
Right.
I mean, I guess it could have been a lot worse. Everybody could have been sick that came in contact with Whitney.
Why didn't we think of that?
Once we saw Lisa's note, we should have said, me too, me too.
I don't feel well.
Exactly. I don't know if I could pull it off, but be nice try. Hey, it is a brand new show for Monday. We do have a lot of stuff to get to today, but let me start with this story out of Australia. This is Darwin, Australia.
Australia!
Which looks like it's practically the northernmost point in the country. Here's a man in Australia had to be rushed to the hospital in terrible pain after a large cockroach crawled into his ear.
Oh.
As he slept, he attempted to suck it out with a vacuum cleaner. That failed. His flatmate took him to the doctor. Here's what happened. He woke up Wednesday morning in pain, sharp pain in his right ear. He said, now, because this is Australia, you know, where they have lots of things that can kill you. He said, I hoped it was not a poisonous spider. I was just praying it didn't bite me. It turned out it was not a poisonous spider. It was just a cockroach. As the pain got worse, the man said he tried to suck the insect out with a vacuum cleaner. That didn't work. Then he tried squirting water in his ear, hoping that that would do it. Whatever was in my ear didn't like it at all, he said.
Oh,
the pain
no.
is excruciating at this point. His roommate takes him to the hospital. A doctor pours oil down the ear canal. This only forced the cockroach to crawl in deeper. Near the 10-minute mark, the man said, somewhere about there, he started to stop burrowing, and he was in the throes of death twitching. So I guess whatever the oil was that they put in finally started to have whatever effect it was supposed to have on
that. How about a little quicker acting agent on that one?
10 minutes.
Yeah.
So my guess is they put the oil in hoping that it would burn, or it would be difficult to breathe it, or some, for some reason the cockroach would crawl out is what they were hoping for. Instead, it burrowed in deeper and then eventually just started to die. So they eventually, after it died, they were able to pull it out with a forceps.
Yeah, I was going to say, why didn't they try that early?
They said they had never pulled an insect this large out of someone's ear. It was 2 centimeters long. The only guess I would have is if you can get it to come out on its own, I imagine it's probably a little safer than using the forceps, because forceps, you know, you could accidentally burst something down there. So they thought they would try the other thing
first. So could the cockroach, by the way.
Right. Man said he would not be taking any added precautions when sleeping, although some friends of his said that they were so concerned over his experience that they had begun going to bed with headphones on.
Well, that's not unreasonable, is it?
I mean, it sounds better than having a cockroach crawl in your brain, I'll tell you that. Cockroaches, it adds, are among the hardiest insects on the planet. They're capable of surviving for long periods on little food and can even tolerate high doses of radiation. They will eat almost anything. Some species can produce over 20,000 young in their lifetime.
Wow. This is all bad.
I know. So as if you don't have enough to worry about, the things that could go wrong in your day. But now start thinking every time that hits the pillow, start thinking about the cockroach that's going to crawl into your brain.
Mm. I'm not sure that that's as big a problem here as it is in Australia, though. So maybe we're all right.
We have cockroaches here.
Yeah,
though.
I know, but not your ones. Not the famed ear cockroach.
So whatever happens to you today, at least you're not this guy.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
When you talk like that, I'm tempted to ring for Nanny and have you put to bed with no supper.
Hmm. Andrew Siciliano will be on the program today talking about the NFL weekend.
I think most football fans have the matchups for next weekend that they wanted.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. We also have the host of American Ninja Warrior, USA versus Japan, Akbar Gbadja Biamila.
He was also the Iranian terrorist on Homeland this season, right?
I don't believe so.
Maybe he was. I don't know.
The most valuable thing you ruined as a kid. Let's be honest. You don't know what you're about to ruin. Some things can be worthless. Other things can be a mansion. You know, you never know exactly what.
When you're a little kid and you break a vase, you don't know whether it's an $8 vase or an $8,000 vase.
Right.
You're just two. And there are a lot of bad stories of things that kids have broken.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. As it is Monday, we'll check in with him. And we're also going to talk to actress Allison Janney, one of our favorites from the show Mom. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break and we'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:51.
Monday morning, the day after the 71st annual Golden Globe Awards were handed out last night. We got highlights of the broadcast for you coming up after the top of the hour. Ralph is here. I'm sure we'll be touching on the winners as well as everything else going on in showbiz. Good morning, Ralph.
Sure. Since it is Monday, let's kick off first with the weekend's box office. As expected, Lone Survivor was the lone survivor at the top of the box office chart.
Yay!
Yes!
Standing ovation.
Its debut made $38.5 million. Frozen made $15.1 million. That put it at number two. The Wolf of Wall Street, $9 million, made it number three. Then a tie at number four and five were tied. American Hustle did $8.6 million. And The Legend of Hercules, in its debut, did the same amount of money. Think it's good on your opening weekend to do $8.6 million? Would that be a good
I don't think
day?
It's what you hope for.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
It's a shame because that Kellan Lutz seemed like a nice guy.
He's very nice.
The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, $8 million. August, Osage County, $7.3 million, made it number seven. Saving Mr. Banks came in at number eight. Then Paranormal Activity, The Marked Ones, and Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues, rounding out the top ten. As Bean mentioned last night, was the Golden Globes. Here are some of your winners. Not many surprises, except for maybe the TV categories, but we'll get to those in a minute. Best Motion Picture Drama, 12 Years a Slave. Best Performance by an actor in a motion picture drama, Matthew McConaughey, for Dallas Buyers Club. All right, all right, all right.
all right, all right, all right. Somebody said last night, I can't remember who it was, Ralph, that they love this new trend of Matthew McConaughey being awesome in movies, but being Wooderson from Dazed and Confused in real life.
Best performance by an actress in a motion picture, Cate Blanchett, for Blue Jasmine. Best Motion Picture Comedy or Musical, American Hustle. Best Performance by an Actor in a Motion Picture Comedy or Musical, Leonardo DiCaprio, The Wolf of Wall Street. It's very funny when Leonardo DiCaprio said in his acceptance speech that he didn't think he would be known for as such a comedian. He said, I want to thank my other fellow comedians, Christian Bale, Bruce Dern. Best Television Series Comedy or Musical. Now a bit of a surprise, Brooklyn Nine-Nine took the honors.
How about that?
The Freshman series, starring Andy Samberg, did very well, beating out Big Bang Theory, Girls, Modern Family, and Parks and Recreation.
So that was quite the upset. I love that
show. For those guys.
But I was really surprised.
Yeah. Also a big surprise that Andy Samberg won for Best Performance by an Actor in a Television Series over Jason Bateman, Don Cheadle, Michael J. Fox, and Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory. So, congratulations. That was quite
I guess cool. Foreigners like Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I guess they do. Best Director for a Motion Picture, rightly so, Alfonso Cuarón for Gravity. Best performance by an actress in a television series, comedy, or musical. Amy Poehler finally won for Parks and Recreation. That was a thank you for hosting, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of the show last night, Ralph?
Yes.
Did you see what she was doing when she won her award?
Yeah, she was making out with Bono.
Yeah, getting a massage from Bono as they were announcing, and then full-on making out with him after she won the award. Hilarious.
Best performance by an actor in a television series, comedy, or musical, as I mentioned, went to Andy Samberg. Best original screenplay was Spike Jonze, Her. Best performance by an actor in a supporting role in a motion picture, Jared Leto. Again, well-deserved for Dallas Buyers Club. Remarkable performance in that. Best performance by an actress in a television series drama, Robin Wright won for House of Cards. I was happy to see that. I really liked that show. Best performance by an actress in a motion picture, comedy, or musical, Amy Adams for her work in American Hustle. Best performance by an actor in a supporting role in a series, miniseries, or motion picture made for television, John Voight for Ray Donovan. You know, Kevin, you watch, you're with me, you watch Donovan.
He's great.
How great is John Voight in that show?
Yep.
You said, wasn't it you said it actually makes you dislike him as a person?
Yeah.
That's how good he is.
He's amazing.
As that douchebag.
You just
want
to punch him in the face.
Best television series drama, no surprise there. Breaking Bad got the nod, as well as best performance by an actor in a TV drama. Bryan Cranston won for Breaking Bad. Glad to see that. Well deserved on all accounts. Behind the Candelabra won for best made for television motion picture. Jacqueline Bisset was insane last night as she accepted her award for Dancing on the Edge.
We'll hear the first 10 minutes of her acceptance speech coming up after the top of the hour.
And then the first award of the evening, it was given out to Jennifer Lawrence for her work in American Hustle for best performance by an actress in a supporting role in a motion picture.
Jennifer Lawrence wins, and I go, all right. All right, this
you
might
go,
be a
all
good...
All right, all right, all right. Is that what you said?
Might be a decent show. And then that was followed up with Jacqueline Bisset, and I was like, I don't know how much more I can take of this show.
She was out there.
Had to move on.
God bless.
I like playing the game with the Golden Globes of who's really drunk, because Jennifer Lawrence looked like she wasn't drunk, but she was in the happy zone, I felt last night when she got up on stage. But was Emma Thompson drunk, or was she just faking it, do you think?
She was faking it. She was putting a little...
She was just like... How about Diane Keaton? Was she drunk?
No, she's always spacey.
Is she really?
She's spacey constantly. Yeah, she's known for being a space
cadet. Why, she looked like she was drunk, Bean?
She's just rambling, and like Ralph said, she's always a little off, somehow. But I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell because, we always hear so much about how there's alcohol at that party.
Sure.
I just wondered that far into the evening what people have got going on.
Yeah, I didn't get the sense that anybody was really juiced up last night. I think they were all on their best behavior.
Well, you're a professional. You had a spot.
That's true.
For maybe Robin Wright admittedly said she had a couple of vodkas under her belt after she got up there, and I felt like she was feeling no pain. But it was good to see. Speaking of boozing... Come on, get happy! David Cassidy of the legendary Partridge Family got busted for drunk driving again. He was arrested Friday night in Los Angeles after cops pulled him over for making an illegal right turn coming off the 405 freeway. Listen, if you're going to drive drunk, obey the rules, right? Isn't that what we say here?
No, we don't say that at all.
We
say don't drive drunk.
If you're going to drive drunk, don't do anything. Call attention to yourself, right? Isn't that our motto?
That's not our motto.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. I missed that meeting. He reportedly reeked of alcohol and then failed the field sobriety test, but when he blew into a breathalyzer, it was only a .19.
Wow.
Which is more than twice the legal limit.
Dude.
Dave was booked and released a few hours later. He was arrested for drunk driving last year in New York and in Florida back in 2010. Here's my suggestion. Mother effing Uber. How about that? Meanwhile... David's manager told Entertainment Tonight Dave is going to be returning to rehab at an undisclosed facility to try to get a handle on things.
And hopefully one with a bar.
So we got that going for us.
Doesn't it seem like, seriously, and I know they were all in different states, so maybe they can't pull these laws together, but doesn't it seem like when you get your second DUI, they should really, send you to jail? Like, they should really make that message stick that second time, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because you're really begging to kill someone if you continuously drink drive.
Here's the problem. Jail's not going to help because it's not a choice problem. It's a sickness. It's an illness problem. So
put him down?
You can go to jail, but if you get out, if you're not treated, you don't get treatment. You get out of jail.
Treatment. Okay.
You're not going to say, well, I'm never going to do that again because that was a bad decision. You know it's a bad decision, but you have an alcohol problem and you can't help yourself. That's the thing.
So well, you sure want to get that message through to people, though, don't you? I mean, I would hope that David Cassidy, had he really done some time on the second time, would go, I'm never going to let that happen again, and I am going to call Uber or get a friend or do something.
If someone was a drug addict, would you just put them in jail to really get home the point that drugs are bad for them?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
Really, treatment's the only answer. It's the only way to get these people under control. Jail time invariably has, you know, look at the repeat factor of most drunk drivers.
Yeah, right.
It's not a very effective deterrent. Today's celebrity birthdays, comedian Rip Taylor, the legendary Rip Taylor. Oh, I love Rip. You know Rip, Kevin? He's the one with the bag of confetti. He gets the bag of confetti, throws it up in the air.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, my God. He's got the big mustache and everything. He's the best.
I always hated that guy.
Oh, I love Rip.
Big mustache?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hate him.
Actress Julie Louis-Dreyfus, who was very funny last night on the Golden Globes, 53 years old today. Patrick Dempsey, he's McSmeggy. Grey's Anatomy.
Somebody
show.
Fact check Reby,
I'm pretty
I think.
Sure it is. He is 48 years old. Tracy Bingham from Baywatch turns 46. Her co-star Nicole Eggert is 42. Actor Michael Pena is 38 years old. Orlando Bloom turns 37. Actress Jill Wagner, we know her from Wipeout.
Yep,
we love her. 35 years old. Little man Brad Williams turns 30 years old today. And Liam Hemsworth is 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin Reed Show. First, though, talking about last night's Golden Globes. Kevin, how much did you – you say you kind of lost interest early when Jacqueline Bisset started rambling. How much did you stick with the show? How much did you end up seeing?
I don't know. Maybe 35 minutes, 40 minutes. But man, oh, man, oh, man. And half of that was Jacqueline Bisset.
We're going to get to her in a second. You know it was a three-hour show, right? 3 hours. Fortunately, everyone's favorite hosts were back, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, who just are so great and looked like they were having so much fun and really seemed to enjoy doing the show. Here's a highlight, a bunch of stuff from their opening monologue put together in one tidy 60 seconds for you.
A very good evening to everyone here in the room and to all the women and gay men watching at home. We are so happy to be back. We are hosting the Golden Globes for our second time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Because this is Hollywood, and if something kind of works, they'll just keep doing it until everybody hates it. Gravity is nominated for Best Film. It's the story of how George Clooney would rather float away into space and die than spend one more minute with a woman his own age. One of my favorite films this year is the movie Her, which takes place in the not-so-distant future, which is perfect because so does Joaquin Phoenix. Matthew McConaughey did amazing work this year. For his role in Dallas Buyers Club, he lost 45 pounds, or what actresses call being in a movie.
Very, very funny stuff throughout the evening. My complaint is always, though, when they get a host, no matter who it is they virtually disappear for the middle of the show.
Yeah, that was the highlight, right? I didn't watch the whole show, but for me, I thought everything else is downhill because I didn't see them for the next half hour.
Yeah, they very rarely came back out. They had a couple of funny things later on, but there wasn't enough Tina and Amy, that's for sure. All right, Jacqueline Bisset. Now, she won... She's an older actress. She's got to be into her 70s, I would imagine.
I don't know
by
that
now,
I've ever seen her.
Or close to it.
Anything.
But she's been around. She's one of those actresses who's been around for decade after decade. And this is a kind of a high-profile role for her. I was unfamiliar with it until she won a Golden Globe for it last night. It was a miniseries on Stars about dancing, I think. First of all... She was the first person that made you realize watching the show last night that the room was big and that a lot of the people who win are sitting way in the back. And it took, no joke, over a minute for a lot of the winners to get to the stage last night.
I think Jacqueline Bisset actually came from her home.
She may have.
She had to walk from home.
And remember, the Golden Globes, if you didn't see it, this is the one where it has the tables. So you kind of have to navigate your way through a crowded dining room, essentially, and encounter people who want to, you know, hug you or shake your hands or talk to you on the way. So it takes a really long time.
But at least she hurried.
So the band played every song they knew waiting for her to get up on stage. And when she finally got up on stage, and I'll start this from when the music fades and now you're expecting, oh, I don't know, a speech. All right, so she's on stage now. She's in front of the microphone. And she's just standing there.
God.
Hello?
I think it was 47 years ago. So the Hollywood Foreign Press gave me a nomination for the Hollywood, promising newcomer.
What?
She was saying she won 47 years ago. She won a Golden Globe for most promising newcomer.
She just shouted newcomer out of the blue. I was like, what's she talking about?
Yes, a lot of her delivery is straight.
Newcomer!
Thank you very much, Hollywood Foreign Press. I'm absolutely shaking. I can't believe this. God knows. You've nominated me about 5 times. I think this. Anyway.
I went out for dinner here.
There was a theme, by the way, and it wasn't only Jacqueline Bisset. There were a lot of other winners who were stunned that they won. And what is it we always tell you? If you're nominated, there's a chance you might win. It's not like I won a Golden Globe, a guy who wasn't in a movie, all right? You might win.
Yeah,
have something to say.
Yeah, you would think you would. But I don't know. Maybe it's a superstitious thing or you just really don't think you're going to win. But yeah, I agree. At least scratch a few notes out.
Right. At least have an idea that it's a possibility.
Okay. Scottish background to the front.
All right.
Okay.
Now she's ready. Now we're going to hear a speech, right?
I always wanted to do something for the BBC.
Okay.
And we did this, and this was great. Chiwetel, where are you? Can I see Chiwetel? I need him for inspiration. Where is he?
Now, who's this?
Okay.
This is one of her co-stars, I think.
We had a good cast, didn't we? It was great. Stars, thank you for putting this on. And
okay, now I think the music's going to kick in now.
Thank you to my British agent, Steve Kennis, and my American agent, Harry Abrams.
I tried to take her off the stage.
I'm sorry, I'm going to get this together. No. I want to thank the people who have given me joy. And there have been many.
She's almost 2 minutes in now, by the way. All right. Now, that was awesome, because now she starts swearing, and they had so much trouble with their finger on the button several times last night. So you'll hear that it cuts out, so we don't know what we didn't hear. But we do know that the first word we heard when she came back on television was a swear word that had to be beeped on my end. It aired last night at NBC. Listen, here's nothing, and then that.
I say, like my mother... What did she say? She used to say, go to hell and don't come back.
Music's still playing, by the way.
All right. So leave, she walks off?
Nope.
What?
However, my mother was not entirely me.
Wait, there's no howevers.
I believe if you want to look good, you've got to forgive everybody. You have to forgive everybody. It's the best beauty treatment.
The broad won't leave the stage.
Forgiveness for yourself for the others. I love my friends. I love my family. And you're so kind. Thank you so much.
So, in other words, more from Jacqueline Bisset than we heard from Tita and Amy. Let me just play one more for this time around, because this was very funny. Alfonso Cuarón, whose name I can never say, I apologize. He won for Best Director for Gravity. And boy, did he deserve it. Like, who else could have directed that movie? Just with the special effects alone and the performances he got, incredible. His English is not great, and he had a very funny speech about that.
Well, thank you, the Hollywood Foreign Press. And this is for the hundreds of people that make this film possible. Because of my thick accent, they end up doing what they thought I'd said, not what I really said. I'm sure some of the members of the Hollywood Foreign Press will sympathize with this. Sandra, you are the most amazing collaborator. I want to thank you for not quitting when you thought that I have told you, Sandra, I'm going to give you herpes.
What?
When I really meant was to say, Sandra, I'm going to give you an earpiece.
Apparently, that's a true story, by the way. Anyway, you can get all the winners online. We'll have more clips for you later on from last night's Golden Globe Awards. A quick break, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, when we return after this on K-Rock. Monday mornings about this time, we catch up with the TMZ newsroom. Today, it's our friend Dax Holt filling in for Harvey Levin. Dax is on Twitter, @DaxHolt. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How about you guys?
Very good. I want to get the business out of the way first because I know you are debuting yet another new show as you continue to take over Fox Channel 11 in Los Angeles. TMC Sports is airing this coming weekend, right?
Yeah, we're starting this weekend, Friday and Saturday at midnight. We are going to be doing this TMC Sports, which, you know, it's turned out to be huge. I mean, Harvey is loving it, and we're getting really good response from people. And, you know, it's just a different angle on sports. It's not, you know, what you find on the other big sports shows. It's the nitty-gritty.
Now, I find it hilarious that Harvey is into this because no one knows less about sports than Harvey Levin. No one. Like, I don't think he could name a player from all four major sports. I really don't.
But he doesn't have to. He hires other people.
I say the same thing. But you know what? Surprisingly, he does know, I mean, about sports, and then he's got a staff that knows a lot about sports.
Sure.
How about that?
Yeah, exactly. He hires people. All right, well, let's talk about a couple of things today with you, Dax. And I want to start with the story that developed since our last visit with TMZ Last Money, and this is the Justin Bieber egg-throwing incident. I can't believe that his next – look, Justin Bieber's a dick, and I want him deported. But I can't believe his neighbors are claiming $15,000 in damage from a couple of eggs.
$20,000.
Oh, so 20 now.
Yeah, $20,000. So, you know, obviously, most people have heard about the story about Justin allegedly egging this guy's house, his neighbor, who he's had a bunch of run-ins for before. This is the guy that he allegedly spit on, if you remember that.
Oh, I didn't realize the same story. Guy. Okay. Yep. All right.
Okay. So, anyway, the cops had said, look, you need to go get an estimate this weekend. We need, you know, an estimate by Monday to say how much damage there was done to this house during the egging so that we can go after Bieber, because if it's over $400, it's a felony. Well, the guy got an estimate, and they're saying the damage is $20,000, that the outside of the house is $15,000, and then the entryway is another $5,000, because this house is all fancy and has Venetian plaster, and so they're going to have to go back and have to redo this plaster and then redo the entryway. And I'm thinking, there's no way eggs cost $50,000 or $20,000 worth of damage, but I mean...
Look, I want him to get in trouble as much as Bean, but that sounds ridiculous.
It sounds crazy. I mean, listen, you could have spent $2 and got yourself some soap and a brush and got it off the wall, but I'm assuming the guy was like, no, I'm going to let it sit on here for a little bit to do its damage, and you know, so we could probably get Bieber in a little more trouble. And listen, the kid needs to learn a lesson. He really does.
He does.
He gets away with everything. He's just a punk. And, you know, you can't go to your neighbor's house and start vandalizing, trespassing, all of that. So I do think he needs to learn a lesson, but there's no way this costs $20,000 in damage.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, he has gotten away with so much. It'll be interesting to see if he ends up getting charged. I mean, he could be arrested for this, right?
Absolutely. And the cops, you know, we've got this videotape of him and the neighbor kind of going at it that night. You can hear Justin in the background screaming at the neighbor, and the neighbor screaming back. And
oh, yeah, well, I got more of these where that came from. Come on.
We are talking to our friend Dax Holt in the newsroom at TMZ right now here on the Kevin Bean Show. I want to talk about one more thing real quick before you go to your meeting, Dax, and that is we didn't cover this in our Golden Globes coverage so far, but a little bit of an online controversy broke out with the tribute to Woody Allen last night. You covered it on TMZ. What's going on?
This is so juicy. I love the story. So Ronan Farrow, who is Woody Allen's biological son, okay? So
or
Woody
is
Allen,
he, by the way? Isn't he the one that we think might be Frank Sinatra's biological son?
I mean, I got to say, the eyes scream Frank Sinatra, but everyone, you know, the documents say it's Woody Allen's son. But here's the deal. So Diane Keaton is up on stage last night, and she's accepting the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award for Woody Allen on his behalf. Well, Ronan, who's his son, like I said, gets onto Twitter and said, "Miss the Woody Allen tribute. Did they put the part where a woman publicly confirmed he molested her at age 7 before or after Annie Hall?" Which is huge, because Allen's adopted daughter Dylan claimed that when she was 7, Allen had touched her inappropriate. And he just basically goes out there, "This is Woody Allen." Yeah, and I'm like, oh, that is brutal. Going
now,
and throwing him under the bus.
A lot of us are uncomfortable. A lot of us are split on Woody Allen because we love his work, and he certainly deserves this award for his body of work. I mean, he's an amazing filmmaker, and we all are a little bit uncomfortable with him marrying his adopted stepdaughter Sun Yi. But now we're getting into another area. I mean, that I guess I hadn't paid too much attention to. Is he a child molester? Is that what's going on here? Are we to believe Ronan Farrow here, Dax?
Here's the thing. So obviously Dylan had, you know, claimed this, and Woody Allen, through his lawyer, had denied anything inappropriate with Dylan. But, I mean, to have your own son go out there and say that about you, clearly there is a lot of family drama between marrying your adopted daughter, you know, allegedly touching your other one. Your son doesn't like you. I mean, that's crazy.
This is getting into Michael Jackson territory.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Mia Farrow, by the way, tweeted last night at the time the Woody Allen portion of the program began, time to grab some ice cream and switch over to girls, so she's out. And then
everybody
was just piling on. And I just wonder, I mean, I know Woody Allen doesn't do award shows. I think he came to one Oscars in 2002, you know, because it was a post 9/11 thing that he wanted to do for the city of New York. But other than that, he never goes to these award shows. And I wonder if part of it is because of this kind of responses, because people are split with how to feel about him.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think there's a lot of people inside of that room that probably love him, and there's a lot of people that probably despise him and don't have any, you know, they would say that to his face.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, these people are his colleagues, these people are famous. They don't care about Woody Allen, and a lot of people, you know, do. So, I don't know. I got to think it's kind of embarrassing to show up at an award show when you've got a lot of drama in your personal life.
Awkward moment for sure. TMZ Old School airs on Fox Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. TMZ Live airs at 4 p.m. And this weekend, Friday and Saturday at midnight, don't miss the new TMZ Sports. Thanks, Dax. Have a great week. We appreciate your time, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Looking for your stories of valuable things you destroyed as a kid. Coming up right after 7 o'clock this morning here on K-Rock. And then actress Allison Janney will be joining us from the CBS hit show called Mom. Chris Christie. Back in the news. We haven't had a chance to talk about this yet, but man, did you see any of his, it looked like a filibuster, his question and answer with the press a few days ago, Kevin?
No, and I'm not even sure what the story's about. Lane closures? Could it really be that?
Yes, it's that. Basically, there's a memo that was uncovered in the Chris Christie administration. He's the governor of New Jersey. He's the big fat guy that you love so much.
Oh, I do love the fat guy.
There's a lane closure where it is suspected that he was punishing the mayor of nearby Fort Lee, New Jersey, for not supporting him in his reelection bid to become, be reelected as governor of New Jersey. And that one of his staff members said, well, looks like it's time for some traffic trouble getting into Fort Lee. And the guy on the other end of the email said, got it. And they ended up closing a bunch of lanes, causing massive traffic jams in and out of this town, which is just, if true, just a dick move to do to the poor commuters of New Jersey, right?
I think the Los Angeles needs to look into that.
Why?
Lanes,
what do you mean?
There's lanes closed on every freeway in town.
So you think there might have been a memo. And it was a terrible time, terrible controversy as a result of all these lane closures. I think, if I remember, and I haven't been paying super close attention, I think a woman even died, an elderly woman even died not being able to get to the hospital in time because of all the traffic jams. So it's a bad thing. So there was a big two-hour press conference that Governor Christie did the other day where he threw a couple of people under the bus. He fired Bridget Kelly, his deputy chief of staff, and he asked Bill Stepien, who was the guy who managed his reelection campaign, to step aside as well. He was going to be the leader of the state Republican Party. So he said, not so much for you, Bill. So a lot of people are wondering, you know, what did the governor know and when did he know it and what's going on with these people that he threw under the bus?
Do people care because he might run for president?
Well, I think yes. I think for some people, they've got him under a microscope because they want to see what kind of a leader he is and how he handles controversy like this. And people are, you know, people have split opinions as to whether he did a good job with his trying to get out in front of it last week or not. I mean, the first thing you do, we all know this. The first thing you do is you fire people under you. That's the best way to get out of scandal, right?
Right, exactly.
Well, we wanted to find out from the other side of the story because we haven't heard much from his campaign manager, Bill Stepien. I believe we have Mr. Stepien on the phone with us right now from New Jersey. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
What do you want?
Well, we wanted to talk to you about your involvement in this Governor Christie story.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, no. Bill, you sound sad.
Oh, do I? Well, I'd be sad. Just because I'm not going to be the Republican Governor Party guy. I was looking forward to that job.
Yeah.
The question is, do you feel that you were unfairly targeted? Oh, do you think that you were fired so that Governor Christie can kind of deflect some of the blame on him?
No. Who would do that? Who in politics would do that? Only a fat bastard who stabs you in the back, that's all.
Oh, you sound so heartbroken.
I'm Chris Christie. Oh, who has two first names?
Well, that's not his fault.
Oh, I'm Bill Billy. Nice to meet you, Bill Billy. This is my friend, Roger Rogers. Hi, Roger Rogers. Have you met Dave Davies? What kind of name is that?
So you guys were tight, obviously, and the governor was
in
your dead.
We're tight when you're in a room with Chris Christie. Everybody's tight with Chris Christie when you're in the room with him because he's 9,000 pounds.
You sound very angry right now.
Shut up.
So you should slow down on the drinking. It's not going to help.
Slow down.
It's like I'm not drinking.
Why don't I put some cones in your lane to see how you like it?
See, if that's not code, that's not very effective.
What's that?
That seems like a...
What's that?
What?
I don't understand what you said. What?
I said if that's not code, it doesn't seem like a very effective threat.
What, closes down your lanes?
Yeah.
You want to ask the mayor of Fort Lee, New Jersey, how much he likes it. He didn't like it one bit.
He didn't like it.
He didn't like it one little bit.
Right.
He didn't like it less. A 91-year-old woman who the ambulance couldn't get to her, and then she died.
She died,
nice
yeah.
Nice work, fat man. Put a bullet in your brain yourself, you fat bastard.
Well, I don't know that we need to talk about that. So basically, so you helped the governor get reelected, and you guys were thick as thieves.
Yeah.
And then the minute there's trouble, he looks around the room and goes, who can I fire? Oh, let's fire Bill.
Right, so... Jabba the governor says to me, hey, let's cut some lanes to Fort Lee. I'll screw that guy over. And I'm like, yes, sir, your governorship, whatever you ask me she should be doing. And then I do it. And now all of a sudden, he doesn't know anything about it. And I got to go. And then Bridget gets fired. Oh, Bridget!
Yeah, they did fire Bridget, his chief of staff, his deputy chief of staff.
I love Bridget so much.
Oh, you love Bridget? Oh, it's that kind of thing, huh? Oh, Bill, this is just sad.
He's so fat.
He is.
He's a big boy.
He got some surgery. He's got the stomach stapling or something, and now he's losing weight. So now he only eats 3 virgins a day. Bastard. Backstabbing.
Doesn't sound like you're going to get over this anytime soon.
It's cold on the beach today.
I bet it is. January.
I have no shoes. Where are my shoes? I just put my pants
on. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
I'm not seeing Ralph Garman.
He's here.
There he is. Yeah. Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning. How was your weekend, by the way, Ralph? Doing anything fun?
Magical. Just spectacular. Just fairy dust and flying elephants. It was magical. I didn't do much.
Right? Do you guys watch football?
Watch a lot of football. That's it.
Yeah. Don't you feel like the 4 best teams... are still in it?
Does seem like it.
I suppose, yeah.
I mean, these are kind of the matchups we all wanted, which is kind of exciting. Usually it didn't work out that way. Usually somebody gets upset. But, man, you can't argue with these matchups. I can't wait for next weekend.
It's just an overdose of assholery. It's just too many douchebags involved in the Final Four, in my opinion.
Who besides Kaepernick, obviously?
The only team I can root for is Denver.
Because
love Fox, love Manning. I think they're just good guys.
Yeah.
Credits to the game. Really decent people. Pete Carroll's an asshole.
Is he?
What's wrong with Pete Carroll?
Both Harbaugh brothers are assholes.
Yeah,
I can't root for either of their teams ever. Belichick, don't get me started on him. Tom Brady. What a bunch of assholes just involved in the playoffs.
I'm surprised you say that about Coach Carroll because he's such a positive, uplifting kind of guy. What does he ever do that upsets anybody?
All right. Have a conversation with Petros Papadakis once in a while, and you'll hear all the stories you need to know about Pete Carroll.
By the way, overdose of assholery has been added Saturday night to Coachella.
Oh, they played Coachella? Yeah. That's fantastic.
It was great, too. I thought Pete Carroll was really cool about how he destroyed the SC program and then split. I thought that was very nice of him. I thought that was a class move.
Oh, you know what? They've been asking me to go to pros for a long time.
Oh, wait a minute. Sanctions?
I'll go now.
Wait a minute. Oh, my God. Hey, bye-bye. Bye-bye now. Okay, bye-bye.
Well, we'll talk more about the NFL with our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network later on. First, though, Russ got the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday.
Of course, last night was the Golden Globe Awards. Not much time here, but I'll give you some of the highlights for the winners. When it came to movies, Best Drama went to 12 Years a Slave. No big surprise there. Best Movie Musical or Comedy was American Hustle. Best Actor in a Drama, Matthew McConaughey. Dallas Buyers Club. Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy, Leonardo DiCaprio, The Wolf of Wall Street. Best Actress in a Drama was Cate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine. Best Actress in a Comedy or Musical, Amy Adams for American Hustle. American Hustle did very well for itself. But some would say boding very well for the Oscars.
Yeah,
we'll have to wait and see what happens.
I saw that this weekend, by the way.
There you go.
You saw it at
American
Theater?
No, I got a screener. No. I didn't get a theater.
Oh, okay. Wow.
But,
how did you get a screener?
Ellen sent it to him.
I'm in SAG too, Ralph.
What?
That's a very entertaining film.
I gotta leave. I gotta quit my own union now. It's the worst. Best director, well deserved, Alfonso Cuarón for Gravity. Jared Leto won for Best Supporting Actor for Dallas Buyers Club. Jennifer Lawrence for Best Supporting Actress for American Hustle. Best Screenplay, Her. Best Original Song, Ordinary Love, Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom. You too picking up a little love at the Golden Globes last night, which was very cool. While they were in town, by the way, you two made the best of their trip to Los Angeles. And have you heard about this little surprise concert for the U2 boys?
Did not.
Yeah, they showed up at a charity event Sean Penn runs to help Haiti. Unannounced, showed up, did a little concert for everybody in the audience. How cool is that? If you go to this fundraiser for Haiti, and then U2 steps out, and it was a mini concert. They did I Will Follow, Desire, and Vertigo. And as you can imagine, the crowd went nuts. So
that's a pretty cool surprise.
It's their first live show, by the way, in 4 years. I had no idea. It's been long since they played live. Yeah. So that was very cool. In New York City, what some New Yorkers are calling the worst thing to happen to New York City since 9/11.
Uh-oh.
It's been announced that Taylor Swift is looking for a home in New York City.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Nobody wants her.
Looking in Greenwich Village, and apparently the neighbors are not pleased about that, as you can imagine. She's currently looking at a townhouse once owned by a playwright named Arthur Lawrence, who, you know, wrote West Side Story and some other big-time stuff. It's going for $12 million, so she's going to open up her purse and pay cash.
Got it on her.
Yeah.
She did buy that that place on the beach in Rhode Island for cash. What did she pay for that, Ralph? Like $17, $18 million?
I think so.
It was next to her boyfriend at the time, right?
Yeah,
no, that was a different one.
She was stalking the Schwarzenegger kid. No, the Kennedy kid, one of the Kennedy kids.
Yeah, I guess she bought a place in Massachusetts near one of the Kennedy kids and then flipped it and made some money on that. But the one in Rhode Island she still lives in, but she bought that for cash.
So there's no word yet on who she's stalking in New York, but... Who knows way too much about Taylor Swift's real estate acquisitions?
I know that you like her, Bean. I get that. We don't. But everyone's, of course, entitled to their opinion. How much do you know about her?
Ralph
made the point that she would open up her purse to buy a place in New York, and I thought it was relevant to point out that she did buy a house cash, which a lot of people don't do. I was just surprised by that.
I'm not saying you were wrong in any way. I'm saying how do you have that much info at your fingertips?
I like to stay current.
On last year's Golden Globes, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, who were also the hosts, mocked Taylor Swift a little bit. You may remember the joke, they told her to stay away from Michael J. Fox's son.
His
young son was Mr. Golden Globe that night, and they warned her in the audience, stay away from him, because she's famous for being a chicken hawk. She's, 22, and she only dates four-year-olds. So it's very strange. And after that, remember, famously, she had no sense of humor, and she said, you know, Katie Couric's one of my favorite people, because she said to me that she had heard in a quote that she loved, that said, there's a special place in hell for women who don't help other women.
Yeah, I remember that.
She attacked them for making a joke about her.
I remember that.
Showing her to be a humorless bitch.
Right.
Well, last night, Amy Poehler wins the Golden Globe. And after she wins, Tina Fey, live on stage, congratulated her and then said into the microphone, I love you, and there's a special place in hell for you. Once again, referring to Taylor Swift, who was sitting front and center in the audience last night. So she managed to get a burn in on Taylor Swift, even as she was congratulating her friend.
Love it.
Amy
Come
Taylor.
On now.
So, showed you good people hate Taylor Swift, bad people like her.
That's correct.
It's science. Today's celebrity birthdays. Liam Hemsworth is 24 years old today. It's a shame that kid is so ugly.
Yeah.
Those Hemsworth boys.
He's doing the best he can.
They don't have it going on. Our friend, comedian Brad Williams, celebrates his 30th birthday today.
Now, have we checked on Brad? Is he okay?
I know it was my day.
I got some photos over the weekend of him in Las Vegas.
He was celebrating his 30th, right?
And heard that he ended up in the hospital.
Dehydrated or something.
Maybe we should check on him. I don't know.
All right.
May not be good.
Actress Jill Wagner is 35 years old today. Actor Orlando Bloom is 37. Michael Pena, 38 years old. Nicole Eggert and Tracy Bingham, both stars of Baywatch at one point, celebrate their birthdays today. Patrick Dempsey's 48. Julie Louis-Dreyfus, who was very funny last night on the Golden Globes, 53 years old today. And comedian Rip Taylor. I'm going to bring in some Rip Taylor, Kevin. You're going to laugh.
I'm not.
He has confetti and a mustache. And a wonderful toupee.
And that's going to translate on the radio.
Going on because he's also very, very funny. Wow. He's a legend. He's 80 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tonight, by the way, there is a two-hour American Ninja Warrior special on NBC, USA versus Japan. Muggs, is this the one that you're competing on? Is this your episode tonight?
Nope.
Akbar Baja Biamila is the host, former NFL player and the host of the American Ninja. He's going to be joining us later on this hour, later on this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and actress Allison Janney in about 30 minutes from Mom. That's all coming up on K-Rock.
All right, let's talk about things that are very expensive that you may have ruined when you were a kid. Let's face it, when you're a kid, you don't know what things cost. You don't know what they're worth.
Mm-hmm.
But you can make mistakes like these kids that were 11 and 12 in Slovakia and burned down a castle because they were trying to light cigarettes on the front lawn.
That was an interesting story, by the way. Children under the age of 15 cannot be prosecuted in Slovakia. Does that mean for anything?
I don't
know. Doesn't it seem like you should just be hiring little kids to do all sorts of evil stuff in Slovakia?
Don't you get the idea that's kind of how it works?
Maybe so. But yeah, they burned the roof of the castle down completely, as well as a new exhibition in the Gothic Palace and the bell tower. Three bells melted. They apparently did hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage to this castle by starting to smoke. There's another story that came out this past week or so of a little kid in China. I think he was 4 years old, and he found his parents' life savings under the bed. They were keeping their cash in a box under the bed. They had about $5,000 in there, and he tore it to shreds. Because what's a little kid know? He just sees paper. It's just fun to rip up paper, right?
Did you say that was all of their savings?
That was their life savings. Oh. They were saving to buy a new apartment, by the way. However, here's a happy ending on this story. The family found a generous bank that was willing to match the value of the torn notes in exchange for new notes. So they had sympathy for the story. So they ended up not actually losing the money. But can you imagine when you walk into the bedroom and there's your four-year-old, he's sitting in just a big mountain of cash.
Having basically. A great time.
I mean, what does he know? He's 4 years old. He doesn't know what cash is. So, I don't think we've ever done this phone topic before, but I thought it would be fun to hear from people who destroyed or ruined valuable things when they were little kids. You didn't do it on purpose. You didn't know any better. You weren't trying to cause great financial harm to your parents, but it's just how it turned out. We're looking for your calls at 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number. This must have happened to you, Kevin. I mean, this sounds like it's right up your
wheelhouse. Well, I've ruined a lot of stuff. I was not a good kid.
Mm-hmm.
But none of it was super expensive. But I was lucky. I mean, I did set an entire field on fire one time. Totally just being an idiot. Just dropping matches and stepping on them and then moving along. And then all of a sudden I heard sirens.
And the cost of that would really just be the cost of the firemen coming out to put it out, right?
But I would think that would be extensive because it was a pretty big field.
It's a pretty big fire, yeah.
But it wasn't connected to, you know, a castle like these kids in Slovakia.
Right.
I mean, I was just lucky because it could have certainly gone anywhere.
Could have been, right. And your parents, probably knowing little Kevin, were probably smart enough to not put anything valuable out where you could get it. I suspect that your house growing up had a lot of stuff behind locked doors.
I broke a lot of windows, I can tell you that. But windows not that expensive, but they do add up when you get into the 20s and 30s of them.
Oh, my God. Did you? You were telling us in the office on Friday. Is this true what you were saying about the insurance company?
Yeah. They would not. And I don't know how insurance companies work, but back then they told my parents, we will no longer cover you for broken windows because you clearly have a problem here with little Kevin. I'd throw oranges at my neighbor, you know, and it would go through their parents' window. And then I threw a basketball at my sliding door. I don't know what I was doing. I was just
wrong with you?
I was just an idiot.
But why so much destruction? Like, why have you always enjoyed? Why do you still to this day love it when stuff blows up or goes hard?
I love fire. I really do love fire. I'm a pyromaniac, mm-hmm. and I love explosions. But when you're a kid, maybe that's not the best thing. Now that I'm a responsible adult, everyone's cool with it. I don't have any problems.
All right. Let's take a couple of calls. We're looking for you and your stories at 1-800-520-1067. Things you destroyed as a little kid. Bill, we're going to get to you in 1 second, but let's start with Christina. Christina is on line one, and she gets us going.
Hi, Christina.
Good morning, guys. Lisa May. I destroyed a camera.
How old were you?
Oh, I was a terror when I was about between 3 and 5. I was bad.
Okay.
All right. Now, what was special about this camera?
It was my dad's camera. It was a really nice camera, a really good brand, and it was expensive, and he loved taking pictures, and I buried it.
You buried his camera in the ground?
In the dirt, because he got home, and I was like, oh, crap, I'm busted. So I buried it so he wouldn't see me playing with it.
But oh, I see. After you broke it, you buried it. Okay.
No, I didn't break it. I buried it to cover up me playing with it.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
And I also gave away a coin collection that was worth a couple $1,000.
Who did you give it to?
The neighborhood kids. I was sharing. I thought it was cool, and I wanted to show it my friends, and I gave every last coin away.
Oh, you were barely worth it to your parents, I'm guessing.
They lost money on you, didn't they, Christina? So how did they find out that you'd buried this camera?
Pardon?
How did they find out that you buried the camera?
My dad's like, where's my camera? And I
and you cracked under that blistering attack.
I cracked and I led him to the little pound of the little mound of dirt, and yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing cameras love; it's dirt. I'll tell you that. So, thank you for the call.
Absolutely.
Appreciate that, my dear. Let's go to Bill. He's on line 2. He's up next. 1-800-520-1067. Things you destroyed as a child, Bill. I'm horrified just what I see you're calling about. Tell us a story.
Well, I was 6 years old. My dad was a big stamp collector, and he had at least $5 million in a stamp collection that he had up on a shelf. And one book had a very expensive stamp in it worth about $900,000. It was a Hawaiian misprint from World War II. And it was printed on December 7th, so it was worth a lot of money.
Right.
And I got up there and I ripped them all up. My dad came home and I told him, look, Daddy, what I did for you. And
well, so you didn't understand what you were doing was bad?
Well, no, I was just copying what he was doing. I thought I was doing what he was doing with the stamp. But I wasn't. I was destroying them because you're not supposed to touch them or play with them. And I was trying to make it nice for him. And I destroyed them. And he was real cool about it. He was real calm. I would have killed me, but he was real cool. So
your dad was cool with you ripping up $1 million worth of stamps?
Well, no, my dad was just cool. My dad was just a calm and cool person. I'm sure he blew up somewhere else. I heard him in the garage.
You're lucky you're alive.
Oh my God.
Really.
$1 million.
If you're the kind of person who has a stamp collection like that, do you get insurance on it or no?
Well, see, it was back in the 70s when people really didn't do that. You know what I mean? It was just like he just had that stamp collection. He really didn't think of it like that. Now it's all a big deal. They insure everything. But
that was his retirement. You know that, right?
Well, that was that was everybody's money. And it kind of sucked because that stamp was my stamp, and I didn't realize until I got older. That stamp collection was going to me. So
that stamp collection wasn't going to you until you ruined it.
Yeah, exactly.
That is rough, Bill. That's a horrifying story. People, don't have kids. That's the lesson we're all learning here.
I don't think that's the lesson,
That's the lesson we're learning here. All right, Bill, thanks for the call. Tom, you hang on. Nadine, Laura, Nick, everyone, please stand by. We'll get to your calls immediately. 1-800-520-1067. That's our number. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kick. Talking about the adorable little 4-year-old Chinese boy who tore up his parents' life savings over $5,000 in cash when he found it under the bed of their house. And it just is opening up the floodgates to the Kevin and Bean listeners who have destroyed so much stuff as little kids.
We're a destructive bunch.
Rosemary writes in, my little sister cut up a rookie Joe Montana baseball card so that it would fit in her Hello Kitty wallet. My poor dad, he still has the cut up card on his desk. Well, that's not going to be worth as much. Here's another Kevin B. listener. My older sister learned to write her name. She used a stick to scratch it into the side of our minivan. And our frequent Kevin and Bean contributor, Paul Lee, writes in, dear Kevin and Bean, when I was about 8 years old, I had a tiny toolkit, and I liked taking things apart to see how they worked. Well, my father had an antique pocket watch that belonged to his father, my grandfather, who was an admiral in the Chinese Navy and received the pocket watch from the King of England. There was even a photo of my grandfather with the king. I used the tiny toolkit, and I took the watch apart to see what it looked like on the inside. Let's just say that pocket watches are very complicated things with lots of springy springs that pop out all over the place when you open them. I reduced the watch to a pile of tiny gears and springs that I had no way of putting back together again. My father was none too pleased. Yeah, that's not ideal.
What a disaster.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Oh, we got so many good ones. Let's go to Nick. He's on line six. His story sounds like he damaged not something of his parents, but somebody else's property. What's going on here, Nick?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. How old were you when this happened?
I was about 6 and a half.
Six and a half.
I was bad. I just thought it was so funny to be bad and get in really bad trouble. So one of my neighbors was, this is about 1982, one of my neighbors.
Oh, he got disconnected.
Dude, do you think the Scientologist got to him?
One of his neighbors was John Travolta. Now, if we go off the air, that will be what it is. And he threw a rock at his car.
Oh, no.
Okay.
All right. Let's try Laura. I think Zenu's on to us. Let's try Laura. She's on line five, and she's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Laura. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
This story doesn't have anything to do with Scientology, does it?
No, it does not.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. No, well, I'm going to just say that I was 2 years old. This was the late 80s, and my mom still gives me crap about this
all
the time.
Sweet.
Yeah. No, just my dad at the time, he had just brought home his brand new Apple computer from his work, so this wasn't even his.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess when I was 2 years old, I don't have any recollection of this, but my sister said that I had managed to jam a CD inside the floppy disk drive.
Right.
And, yeah.
Now, the floppy disk was a little square thing, right?
Yeah, I was left in the room, I guess, that long.
Okay.
But, yeah, just, and, like, the whole computer was just ruined, and it was, yeah, my dad had to pay $2,000 for it to his job.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Wow, did he put you up for adoption?
No, thank God. They were actually, I mean, they couldn't do much because I was 2 years old. I mean,
right.
Like, I didn't know any better. They couldn't really punish me. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Nadine is up next. She's on line four here on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about stuff you destroyed as a little kid. Hi, Nadine.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa.
How old were you?
I was four.
4 years right. old.
And you're a little hellraiser. What'd you do?
Well, I thought I could do everything that my older sister could do. So we were sent to my great-grandmother's house, and my older sister decided she wanted to jump on the couch. So I wanted to jump on the couch with her. Well, then she decides that she wants to jump off of the couch in this really cool way. And so I thought I could do that, too. So I jumped off. I missed my step, and I went face first into my great-grandmother's antique glass table, sliced the corner of my eye, shattered the table.
Oh, my God.
Table was no good after that. Had to get rushed to the hospital to get stitches. Still have the scar to relive that memory.
You know what? Wow. It's almost a blessing that you had to go to the hospital, because then your parents couldn't think about that table.
Well, my parents were out that night.
Your grandparents.
We were left there to baby. No, my parents were out. We were left at my grandmother's to be babysat.
Oh,
I
gotcha.
So they had to be called to rush down to get me at the hospital.
Sweet.
Table did not survive.
Wow. Sweet. What do you think that was worth? Did you ever hear a dollar value put on that antique glass table?
At that time, it was 1988. It was worth about $2,500.
Wow. Wow. Good times. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. From the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, Rebecca writes in, my parents had a turn-of-the-century Bösendorfer grand piano complete with ivory keys. When I was about five, I gnawed the paint off the lid with my teeth.
What?
Well, that didn't make it any more valuable, did it? Elizabeth writes in, dear Kevin and Bean, my mother was taking an afternoon nap, and I got a permanent marker and created art all over her brand-new $3,000 bedroom set. The following week, she was taking another nap while I was up, and I cut off one of her ponytails. So Elizabeth was just a terror in every way. All right, let's go to Tom. He's on line three. I think he's got a pretty good one for us.
Hey, Tom, how old were you?
I was six, and my brother was 8 years old.
Okay, and what happened?
We were in our dad's 1955 Ford Classic Hot Rod, just messing around, and we lived on top of a hill at the time, and somehow my brother released the parking brake. And we rolled the car down the hill, and I grabbed under the steering wheel, and I avoided every other car except the light pole, and I ran it right
Wait,
into the light
pole. Hold on a sec. You were 6 years old, and you were able to drive the car to avoid hitting other cars?
Yep.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, I know it ended poorly, but that's pretty impressive.
Well, to top it all off, when our dad got back over there, he was asking where my brother was. He was hiding in the back compartment right behind the driver's seat.
Wow. Awesome.
And he still has the car today, and he still gives me that dirty look.
He should.
And tells me until he dies, that car is not to be touched.
Permanent ban from you behind the wheel. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that, Tom. Let's go to Matt. He's on line one. He's got another one that involves a car. Hey, Matt, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
How old were you?
I was in fourth or fifth grade. I leaned my BMX bike against my dad's Corvette to spray paint it silver.
To spray paint your bike?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the overspray left an outline of the bike against the car door.
That is sweet. I bet that looked great.
He was impressed.
I'll bet he was. Thanks for the call. Hey, Nick is back.
Are we going to try him again?
Let's try him again. Let's see. I just want to see if the phone gets cut again.
Nick?
Hey, so I just got to say, L. Ron Hubbard doesn't like me.
That's what's happening.
It's terrible. But hey, so check this out, you guys. So, yeah, my neighbor was dating John Travolta, and he had one of those. It looked exactly like the Smokey and Bandit Trans Am. And I just thought it was hilarious that, you know, Danny from Greece was, you know, his car was right here. And me and my friend were like, what can we do to this? So we decided to just take every single rock we could find and throw it directly up in the air above his car and let it come crashing down. So long story short, he comes out and, you know, just in that voice, because this is 1982, and he's like, what are you guys doing in my car? And he grabs both of us by the shirt. He takes me to my house first. And my mom couldn't say anything to him. She just stood there like, you're John Travolta.
Yeah, that's like, got to be weird.
And, yeah, and you see, and I remember as a little kid, we're just laughing our asses off. And she keeps smacking me because she's like, it's not funny. I go, this is funny. Because, I mean, we're talking about 30, 40 rocks on this guy's black Trans Am. And all we could think was, we have to make the bird look worse because it had the bird on the hood.
Nick, you know? We've taken a lot of calls. You're the first person, I think, and the only one who did it on purpose. You right? meant to damage.
Everybody else was an accident, right?
Oh, no, it had to happen. Like, it was too nice, and we knew it was really bad.
First of all, I hate Nick, but why, because he was an actor, did his car deserve to be destroyed?
You know what it was? I think it was because it was, like, the neighborhood wasn't even that nice of a neighborhood. He was definitely slumming it by dating my neighbor.
Right.
And so, you know, when we saw it, it was like you had these crappy cars, and then you had this nice black.
So he made the mistake of parking a nice Trans Am in the wrong neighborhood.
He made the mistake of being talented, working hard, and then buying something with his money that you didn't like.
But, you know, he made my mom's life right then, though. You know, like, my dad came home, and he's like, so what happened today? You know, and that was just, they still can't top that story.
That's pretty good, actually, for your parents.
All right. Yeah. You're a dick, but thanks for calling. Yeah, we appreciate it. By the way, speaking of the Super Bowl halftime show, which is coming up in less than a month
now. Who was
the
Red speaking Hot, of that?
I was, in my mind.
Okay.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers have been added to the show. They're going to be playing with Bruno Mars at the halftime.
What?
Right?
Bruno Mars and Red Hot Chili
Peppers? And the Red Hot Chili Peppers are going to be playing together at the Super Bowl halftime show. They're coming out. It's unclear as to how much they're going to be doing, how much of the set they're going to be doing, if they're going to replace his band, or if that's going to be a separate part that they do. But that's kind of you don't expect to see those two together, right?
I would like somebody to fact check Bean, please.
I think that's probably a good idea. I am still on the Vicodin. Hey, I'm a little bit intimidated by our next guest. She is the multiple Emmy Award-winning actress Allison Janney. She, of course, stars on Mom, CBS Monday nights. Hey, that's tonight at 9:30, but we loved her so much in the Way, Way Back, the film last year. She was so great on Masters of Sex, and she's just one of the best actresses out there, and she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Allison. How are you, my dear?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
I was thinking about you. I did not see you at the Golden Globes last night, but I'm sure you watched, right?
I was on my couch watching with some good friends and sipping some champagne and in our sweatpants, which is probably what everyone at the Globes wanted to be doing.
Were you laughing to yourself at the length of time it took some of those people to get to the stage?
Oh, my God. It was... it's just hysterical. Yes, it was. There's no way for the television people to get up on stage without taking like half an hour. I mean, Jacqueline Bisset. Even I don't know how long.
I'm not sure she's still on stage. She may be,
but you've been to that show many, many times. When you're at the show, are you glad to be there? Is it fun because it's an honor to be nominated, or every person in that room would rather be at home watching it on the couch with you?
Well, I think there are a good many who'd rather be on the couch, especially ones who are there
all the time and are taking it for granted.
I think that
there are a lot of people who are truly excited to be there, and the casual atmosphere is such a welcome respite from the normal, award shows where you just sit in a, you know, auditorium-style seating, and this is so relaxed. Tables and the liquor is flowing, and people are, you know, seeing each other and having fun. It's a very festive, the most festive of all the award shows. So.
I saw Jack Nicholson one time. I was at the Golden Globes, and I saw him sitting there, and I thought, I'm going to go up and say hi. How many chances do you have to say hi to Jack Nicholson? So I walked up to him, and I tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, hi, Jack. And he said, I'll have a water. And I just turned and walked away.
Did you bring the man a water?
I got a couple glass of water from one of the waiters and walked back over and handed it to him and left.
Yeah.
But somebody like you who's been in the business for a while and you've worked with so many people on so many projects, I imagine it's just a rare opportunity to see some of these people that you don't run into very often, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely a sort of a reunion of sorts for so many people, because it's one of the, it's kind of, you know, in this business, you do a project and then you leave it and you don't know when you're going to see that actor again. And these sort of shows are the perfect opportunity to reconnect with old friends. And it's really a fun night. I hope to go there again and sit at a table up there.
In your sweats. In your sweats with your drinking. I mentioned that I thought of you, and that wasn't I wasn't kidding about that, because last night when Tina Fey made that joke about how Meryl Streep proves that there's plenty of work for actresses in their 60s named Meryl Streep, I was thinking, you always hear that complaint in Hollywood that, you know, that women can't get work. But then I look at somebody like you who seems to be working all the time on multiple projects. Always. What's the secret there? Why are you the busiest actress in Hollywood?
Well, I think also right now there are a lot of great roles for women on television, and with all these great, I think there are more roles than ever for women and older women. I think it's kind of it's wonderful, and I also think being a character actress, more there's you know, more opportunities for me if I were, you know, trying to hold on to my being an ingenue and being this, you know, romantic lead or something. It might get a little harder as you get older, but I think for me, it's just going to get, I just don't see it ever stopping. I feel like I'm just going to work for as long as I want to work, because I'll fit in that category of
the, right.
Tell us about working with Anna Faris, who we love.
She is, I'm so grateful that I got someone like her to work with, because she and I are similarly, I am not drunk.
You're on the right show to slur your words, though. Don't worry about it.
We have similar work ethic. She's incredibly professional. She's incredibly kind to everyone, which I love. And also we just work similarly silly, and we have a lot of fun together. We like to help each other find what's funny. Like, I liked it better when you did that, or was it funny when I did that? We're just sort of good, great partners in crime, and she's also just fun to hang out with and talk to. Just adore her, and her husband Chris Pratt is so sweet. They're just in their little baby chat. I mean, she's a great, great woman, and very sweet.
We love Anna, too, and she's one of those actresses that you feel instantly comfortable with when you have her in. It's never awkward when you have her on. She's like you, Allison. You can just have a regular conversation with her like a regular person. There's not a great deal of pretense.
Yes, exactly. That's what I love about her, too. She's very grounded and very accessible and as an actress, watching her before I met her work, you just immediately care about her character she plays, because you just want to put her under your arm and say, it's going to be okay. She's the best. Couldn't have a better co-star.
We're talking about Anna Faris, of course, because she plays Christy, who is the daughter of Allison Janney's character on the TV show Mom, which airs Monday nights at 9:30 on CBS. Have you been on a lot of sitcoms as a regular character before in your career, Allison?
No, this is my first time in this multicam arena, and I find it incredibly exhilarating. It's incredibly fast paced, and the rhythms of comedy like this are much more specific. There's not as much wiggle room to
to act in. You got to find these rhythms. And Chuck is a genius at it. He's a kind of got a musician's mind, and he just knows how to orchestrate it all. And he's a genius. And I love working in front of a live audience. Sort of, I of course grew up in the theater in New York, so I appreciate that live audience performer relationship, which is there's nothing better than that. So I'm finding this I hope it goes for a long time. Let's just say that I'm having the time of my life doing this.
Well, that's good to hear. It's so tough to get a new sitcom off the ground on television. Mm-hmm. It's so tough to get one that sticks. And the reviews for Mom right out of the gate were very good. And it seems like one of those shows that's doing really well. So good on you.
I'm hoping. I hope it has legs. I think it's worthy of it. I think we have our, you know, battles being up against the Voice and different shows like that, but I think it's gonna stick just because the writing is so good and the subject matter, the issues that we deal with are really real, and it's not just a sitcom with a ba-dum-bum-blah. It deals with real issues, and we are playing real women with real problems, and it feels true. The humor and laughter, and I just think it's great what Chuck's doing with this show.
You're one of our favorites, Allison, and Anna Faris, we said as well. Mom is Monday nights at 9:30 on CBS. We appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Dean.
Bye now. Shia LaBeouf, quite the fella, announced on Twitter over the weekend that he's retiring from public life. I don't know exactly what that means.
Does it mean he's not acting?
Well, no one really knows for sure what he's saying.
Retiring from public life.
In light of the recent attacks against my artistic integrity, I am retiring from all public life. Now, I don't know whether that means he'll keep acting and just won't go to the movies.
Won't do press.
Stay in his house all the time.
Aren't these attacks against his artistic integrity him being called out for blatant plagiarism?
Well, let me continue with the story here and tell you what this is all about. Lately, he's been coming under fire because he did a short film based on a comic book by a gentleman named Daniel Klaus. And Shia's short film, HowardCantor.com, was lifted almost entirely from this online comic strip that Daniel Klaus put together. And Shia LaBeouf has himself admitted it.
Oh, he has?
Yes. After fact, when everyone called him out and said, wait a minute, we know where this is from. You stole it. He started claiming that being an artist means to take other people's material and reinterpret it. That's what he thinks being an artist means.
Well, if you give him credit, yeah.
He got enormous backlash over that, and then he apologized twice. However, people quickly pointed out that both apologies were actually lifted from someone else. Both apologies were plagiarized.
It is true.
That's not true.
It's true. You made that up.
I did not.
What? But it's funny.
It's not funny.
It's to me.
Then some people were curious whether he was really even sorry or not that he stole this guy's material, because he did take to skywriting over Los Angeles, saying, I'm sorry, Daniel Klaus. However, Daniel lives in San Francisco. So the odds of him seeing the skywriting over the city of Los Angeles were very slim.
He's on fire.
He's been getting a lot of heat lately, and they're saying that's why he stamped his feet and held his breath and said,
nobody likes me. I'm not going to do this anymore.
I'm tired of public life.
Stupid.
Whatever that means. And then he tweeted, stop creating. Hashtag stop creating. Like, we're putting our foot down on his neck, man. We're keeping him from being an artist.
Take it easy.
He put that up in skywriting also, that stop creating. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean he's not going to create, or he doesn't want other people to create? What's the message here, Shia?
No, he's saying that people are telling him to stop creating, stop being an artist by all this criticism he's taking.
I think people are saying start creating.
No, man.
He stop copying.
He takes other people's art, and then he takes it and he makes it better, man. It's reinterprets.
I'm sorry to see this, because I think he's a very talented actor.
I do, too.
I really do.
You do, huh?
I do.
Based on
things I've seen him in.
Transformers? Yeah. From those brilliant performances in the trip.
I thought he was great in those. I didn't see those, but I saw his, Disturbia? Is that what it's called? The Rear Window type? I saw that. I thought he was very good in that. I've seen him a couple things I've liked him in.
Yeah. There you go. I guess he can steal from other people then. It's all right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Liam Hemsworth is 24 years old today. Comedian Brad Williams turns 30. Actress Jill Wagner is 35. Orlando Bloom's 37.
Michael Pena, 38 years old today. The girls from Baywatch, Tracy Bingham and Nicole Eggert, both celebrating a birthday today. Patrick Dempsey's 48. Julia Louis-Dreyfus celebrates her 53rd birthday today. And comedian Rip Taylor. Oh, I forgot to pull some Rip Taylor.
That's too bad. Right,
next hour.
Yeah.
My tribute to Rip Taylor.
I was really looking forward to it.
Legendary comedian is 80.
I have a little something here for you, Ralph. Okay. This is from Kevin Amin listener Eddie, who occasionally will send us tape. He sent us something just for you for Rip Taylor. You want to hear it?
Yeah, sure.
All right, I've not heard this yet, but...
Rip Taylor? You're not even dead. Someone needs to check my apartment.
That's Rip Taylor.
Is that really him?
No. But thank you
for that
helpful piece of tape. We're all much poorer for having listened to it.
Was that the listener doing an impression?
Who knows?
You're asking me?
Yeah, I don't know. I just got sandbagged. I don't know where it came from. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got more highlights from last night's Golden Globe Awards coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show today. Also, Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network is going to be here. And why Kevin is a dumbass. That's all this hour here on K-Rock. You love this American Ninja Warrior, don't you, Kevin?
I do. It's awesome.
You love this show.
Mm-hmm.
Is Beer Mug, I don't know who the best contestant ever is, but is Beer Mug the worst contestant ever in American Ninja Warrior?
Yeah, I mean, he went and did it. We shot video with Allison Hayslip.
Uh-huh.
Back in the day. It was a couple of years ago, and Beer Mug tried it and failed every single step of the way. And this is a course that's not, it's made so that it's impossible to do. So
yes.
There's maybe one or two people in the world that can do it, and they're all Japanese, no Americans.
Well, let's find out, because tonight it's a USA versus Japan on American Ninja Warrior, 2-hour special, NBC, 8 o'clock tonight. The host of the program, former NFLer Akbar Baja Bamila, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Akbar. How are you, my friend?
Man, how are you guys doing? Kevin and Bean, I got a quick story.
Yes.
I played at Crenshaw High School in Los Angeles, and my point guard name was Kevin Bradley, but his nickname was Bean. So I can't help but to think every time I hear Kevin and Bean, I can't think, can't help but to think about my Crenshaw teammate, Kevin Bradley. Kevin and
Why was his nickname Bean? Do you know?
You know what? That's a really good question. In all the years, I don't know. In fact, I'm going to call him after I get off this radio show and ask him, why is your nickname Bean?
Did he have Asperger's and did he have a hard time relating to fellow workmen?
No, he was really good. Really good. Yeah.
Well, Akbar, first of all, before we talk about the show tonight, how about a postmortem on your Chargers? What went wrong with them against Denver yesterday?
Well, I think the same thing that went wrong at the Golden Globe and Kerry Washington didn't win for her Olivia Pope role in Scandal. I think, you know, when you look at some of the stuff that going up against this offense, I mean, the Broncos are really that good. I mean, they jumped off early. Peyton Manning, I think, was at his best with all of his guys. But, you know, when you look at the Chargers, I mean, they had a really good plan. I mean, but without a dominant run game, you know, with Matthews, that made it hard. Keenan Allen played his butt off, beating the brakes off of his former Charger, Quentin Jammer. They just didn't have enough weapons at the end of the day to keep up with this offense for the Denver Broncos. They're really that good.
Yeah, and the Broncos, I mean, someone said yesterday on TV that they were out-chargering the Chargers in that they brought a great defense and a great run game as well. I mean, they were a very complete team last night.
Man, you know, my former teammate, Sean Phillips, we played together in San Diego, and he was getting to, you know, the quarterback often. He was getting to Phillip Rivers, who was his former teammate, and, I mean, they just didn't have answers for the interior and the, you know, the edge pass rush, and that made it very hard for Phillip Rivers because Phillip Rivers has to start moving out of the pocket, and he can't stay there and pick apart a defense. That makes it hard for him. So we saw that, and, I mean, down goes the Chargers. But what a phenomenal year, though, for the Chargers as they push through a lot of heartaches in the beginning of the season.
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk about tonight's show, American Ninja Warrior, USA versus Japan. I've watched this show in the past, and it is an impossible obstacle course. Have you run it?
Okay, let me be honest here. I thought, you know, look, I'm a former NFL player. I'm starting to feel myself really excited about hosting American Ninja Warrior. I said, you guys, let me just try the course because, I can do this. Like, I've done harder things in my life. And let me tell you, I was so wrong, and I'm just glad they don't have it on film.
Oh.
Because it was nasty. I looked unathletic. I just made up that word. I mean, I looked clumsy. It was bad. And no matter how many, like the warped wall, for instance, as easy as that stuff looks like when you look at some of these guys who just run right up the wall, it is extremely difficult. And so, I mean, it takes a lot of balance, eye-hand coordination, muscle strength in body parts that you didn't even know, and muscle parts that you didn't even know that you had that existed. So it is extremely difficult, and that's why this epic showdown between the Japanese and USA is going to be, it is going to be one that I think everyone's going to enjoy.
All right, but let me ask you this question, because I'm not positive if my information is up to date, but I remember hearing many, many different times when I was watching this show that no American has ever made the Japanese show. So it's going to be a disaster for the U.S. If Japan's going to kill us.
Well, you know what? I think there's a thing. Like, the Japanese are very strong. They are strong in what they do. But I think that there's one thing that I can say about Americans. Americans, we tend to find a way to rise to the challenge. We saw that if you go back to that Barcelona Olympics, and you go back into some of the recent Olympics, you go back and you start thinking, like, well, we rise to the challenge. And so I think that's why this is going to be one. We got our best. We've got Brent Stephenson, who's going to be in the mix for there. We've got Travis Rosen. So it's our very best, five best Americans against their five best. And in fact, one of them is Uri Shahada, who is the only guy to ever beat Mount Midoriyama. He's done that twice. So, you know, if you like boxing, if you like the Olympics, if you like Monday Night Football, I guarantee you that this is going to be a showdown that's going to have your mouth, like, jaw-dropping. Like, everyone's going to be talking about it.
USA! I would think that the Japanese competitors would have an advantage just in that the show has been on their entire lives. I mean, in Japan, kids grow up knowing about and watching this show every season, right? So they already are aspiring. Yeah, 28 seasons, right.
28 seasons of that. It's very new to on our soil. We're going into our fifth. We just completed our fifth season here. And, you know, American Ninja Warrior is just, it's different. I mean, the Americans are built differently, as you know, to the Japanese. The Japanese tend to be smaller. Their strength to weight ratio seems to be better than ours. Of course, you know, we struggle with a lot of different things over here. You know, fast food being one of the things.
Yeah, we're
here
fat.
In America. Yeah. Okay, so you said it for me.
Now, because we're Americans, can we bring guns to the course? Do we have that in our pocket?
No, but I will tell you this. Let me be clear. That was my Obama let me be clear. The Americans are very strong. That's the advantage that we have over the Japanese, that they're very strong. Obviously, when you look at the size and the girth of that the Americans bring, they have that. That helps in certain parts of the course. I mean, there are going to be four stages to this, to Mount Midoriyama, and it's going to be the best. And so the way this is going to work is that each stage, there's going to be a point system. And so if you complete stage one, you get 1 point. For stage two, you get 2 points. So it really kind of evens it out. So if the Americans miss on stage one, they have an opportunity to get up on stage two by getting 2 points.
Oh, okay.
And that just point system moves up as it goes through. And so now all of a sudden that makes it very one slip up. That's all you need is one slip up. And then all of a sudden now the game changes.
All right. We changed the rules so we can win.
USA! USA! USA!
All right. American Ninja Warrior USA versus Japan. It's a 2-hour special. It airs tonight at 8 o'clock on NBC. Host Akbar Baja Bamila, thanks so much for joining us on The Kevin Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
Hey, thank you guys so much.
You bet. Mondays on The Kevin Bean Show means we catch up with our good friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. Andrew's on the phone right now because he, what are you, filling in for Rome this week? Is that what you're doing, Andrew?
Today. Just today, guys. Good morning.
How are you? Have you figured out how you're going to hang up on your callers yet? You got some sort of a signature move you're going to make?
No. Come on. Like rejecting people in the Kemi Mutombo, waving the finger, that kind of thing?
Whatever you got to do, man.
No. I've never done that. I don't hang up on callers. I refuse to have a battle of wits with somebody who is unarmed.
Sweet.
I don't know that I'm going to hang up on anybody. Come on.
Gotcha.
I'm lovable. I'm huggable. I'm
easy.
I'm warm and fuzzy today. I haven't shaved.
So we were just discussing off-air, Andrew, and I think you may have expressed a similar sentiment on the Twitter yesterday, that we got the NFL matchups that we were hoping for next weekend, it looks like, for the most part.
I mean, aren't you all entertained? This is exactly what everyone wanted. It was exactly what the networks wanted. And let's cut the crap. It's the best four teams. It's what it should be.
I think so, too. But Andrew, let me just ask you this, because I have a friend who's like, oh, yep, there's the NFL. They sure are rigging it so that the four teams everybody wants are going to be in it. Like,
yeah.
That talk started. It's
all
like,
right. So the sixth seed was 5-2. Against the one seed, so 5 out of the last 7 games. So the one seed historically loses. We don't often, and I think we've gotten it, I think we've gotten 2-1s in the Super Bowl only once in the last decade. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's twice. So that is nonsense. History says they're absolutely wrong. The chalk, this isn't the NBA finals here. The chalk does not always go to the Super Bowl. It doesn't happen that way.
A lot of people, and you see this a lot when a call goes against your team, a lot of people will accuse NFL refs of looking the other way or calling things sometimes, not calling things other times. You watch more football than anyone I know, Andrew. How do you rate the talent of the refs in the postseason?
I think they have, hands down, the toughest job out there, and I think that in every game there are calls that make you want to yell at your TV. But look at, for example, the one yesterday in the back of the end zone in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. They ruled Vernon Davis was out of bounds. Jim Harbaugh lost his religion, did a spitting pirouette out onto the field.
Yeah, it was so late.
Flagged for it, was then calmed down by his most hot-headed player, if that's even English. But they
right.
got the call right eventually. Now, people will look at the Denver game and not like the Wes Welker pass interference call, but it mm-hmm. still came down to the end of the game with Peyton Manning 3rd and 17 to Julius Thomas. The Chargers had all their chances to get off the field.
Right.
So, yes, calls will go against you. And I didn't like the fact that Anquan Boldin didn't get a headbutt flag because you got, what's-his-face earlier in the game, I think Mike Mitchell for the Panthers in the first quarter on a headbutt, which I didn't like. You got to call that an Anquan Boldin. I mean, those are things that you have to have even. But I let me just say this. I don't think you can look at any of those games and say a call directly changed the game.
I agree. And the other thing that is amazing is how often they do get it right. When we're watching in super slow-mo from 4 different angles, and they had to call it in real time.
Yes, it's impressive.
And there are other people that say the football gods eventually even things out. Like, for example, Dan Scuda of the 49ers. I mean, no one knows who he is, but he got flagged for roughing the passer on Cam Newton yesterday, and it was not a good call. Everybody agrees it was the bad call. Well, 90 seconds later, Cam throws an interception. So the football gods, not that you always should rely on the gods, you don't need to invoke the gods as often as we do, but in that case, the gods, in their infinite wisdom, laid their hands upon the game and made certain that a wrong was righted.
You know what I hate? I'm sure it's just human nature and it's the excitement of the moment. But going back, for instance, to that call that was upheld, that San Francisco touchdown, right before the end of the first half. All of the Carolina players are jumping up and down and giving it out of bounds, out of bounds, out of bounds. Like, the players try very hard to influence the refs by deciding whether it's a field goal or a touchdown or a dropped pass or an interference. They just all make those motions as if the refs ever are going to pay attention to what the fans say in the stands or the players say on the field.
It's universal. Well, actually, I think it's human nature. Actually, there's a book written on this called Scorecasting, I think, a couple of years ago by a couple of guys from SI. That did this amazing research about how home teams get the calls across the board, regardless of sport, regardless of country, that they've charted it out where it is human nature, where referees, no matter how much we like to say they're impervious to influence,
right,
referees will generally feel the emotion of the building. And even if it's 2 or 3%, over an entire season, you could argue that it changes things.
Interesting.
But look at the NBA. LeBron or Kobe, they've never committed a foul in their entire life.
That, by the way, that's a fact. That's science.
Yeah.
All right.
True. They've never committed a foul.
All right. What about the matchups that we have this coming weekend? What do you see happening here?
All right. Obviously, both home teams will be the favorites. However, see, if you look at the numbers, the last 2 games in Seattle, it's been 71-16. The last 2 seasons, when the Niners have gone to Seattle, they have gotten their butts blown at 71-16. There is no way it's a blowout this time. San Francisco is the hottest team in football. They've won 8 consecutive games, 2 here in the playoffs. I think they give the Seahawks, sorry, Bean, a legitimate fight. I don't know that they get out of there with a win, but I think this game is a lot closer to what we normally see when it's in San Francisco, which is the game is in the teens.
Yeah, that last game that the Seahawks went to San Francisco, they lost, I think, 19-17, and that's kind of the sort of score I think we're both expecting for this coming weekend, too.
And I think Peyton Manning's going to win. I do. I think Tom Brady, it's amazing what the Patriots have done without most of their good football players not named Tom Brady.
Didn't they look so surprisingly so good on Saturday night, though? The Patriots looked like the Patriots of old on Saturday night.
Except they ran the football. That's all they did. They ran, ran.
Right. It was all running, right.
Run. And look, they're the better team than the Colts. Even with all the injuries, they're the better team. Indianapolis is not a complete team. But if they could go in there and win in Denver and then cause all us talking heads to lose our minds and spend 6 months talking about Peyton Manning's legacy to fill time on the air, that would be pretty impressive.
Well, it's going to be very, very exciting this weekend. One more game to get to the Super Bowl. And as you mentioned, the four best teams are the four last teams standing. So you're going to be on Around the League Live this afternoon at 3 on the NFL Network. And we'll tune in about 25 minutes to hear you filling in for Jim Rome today. Thank you, Andrew. Always a pleasure, sir.
Beautiful, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot for tuning in. By the way, some of our guests later this week on the Kevin and Bean Show include actor Michael Rosenbaum. You remember him from Smallville. He is back with a new project. Also, Patton Oswalt is going to be here. Jay Moore, Dr. Drew, Haley Joel Osment. A lot of good stuff coming up here this week on K-Rock. And if you miss any of the show because, you know, you got to go to work or school or something important, don't forget, there's the Kevin and Bean podcast. Just subscribe on iTunes, and that way you won't miss a delicious moment.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Don't go right to podcasts. Skip your school or work or whatever.
Well, there's that.
And then if you can't
too.
Do that, then go ahead and do it. I'm not smart. And I was at Staples Center to see the decline of the Lakers, which is an enjoyable thing after all this time. And we got there about 30 minutes early. And so I went to McDonald's and I got a chocolate shake, as I am wont to do.
Mm-hmm. Because if people don't know, Kevin still eats like a 5-year-old. You know how when you're a kid and you eat chocolate, you go, when I'm an adult, I'm only going to eat chocolate because I can. Well, most of us realize when we get to be adults that you can't live your life that way. Kevin does it. Kevin still lives his life like he's a 5-year-old.
Chocolate milkshake. How can you go wrong? So I get back to my seats and, you know, they're still warming up. And so I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to start trying to drink my chocolate shake. Well, it's more frozen than normal. And you know that feeling when the straw is not big enough to get the shake through?
Right.
You're trying, but the shake is pretty frozen.
Right. So you have to let it sit for a minute.
No.
Warm up a little bit.
No.
And then you can drink it normally.
First, you got to work it. I mean, you got to really earn it at that point because that shake is nothing but a block of ice. So you start, I mean, you really start sucking harder. I mean, you take the tip of that straw and you bear down with every muscle in you. And you think, I am not going to be beaten by a chocolate shake. And then you get nothing. But maybe the shake moved a little bit. So you go, all right, I'm making progress. Bear down again. Start sucking as hard as you possibly can.
People are tuning in right now are wondering what the hell this conversation is about.
Talking about a chocolate shake at the Laker game.
You're sucking as hard as you can.
Yes.
And nothing's coming out.
The shake is now like halfway up the straw. So I'm close to being victorious. It's me versus the chocolate shake. Everyone in the arena is gone. The game is gone. It's just me vs. chocolate shake.
This is your Moby Dick. You're not going to rest until you win.
I'm not going to get beaten by a chocolate shake. So I suck harder and harder and harder. And just as it gets up, I feel an elbow from my left. And it's my daughter pointing at the Jumbotron. And I was on the screen the whole time.
Yay!
It was probably a good minute.
Oh, no.
And I said, how long was I up there? And she said, the whole time. But I did get an offer from Vivid, so that's good. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
Amy Poehler and Tina Fey hosted the Golden Globe Awards last night with comments like this.
And now, like a supermodel's vagina, let's all give a warm welcome to Leonardo DiCaprio.
I have plenty more highlights of the broadcast coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning. Good morning, Ralph.
Well, it looks like
Bieber could be doing some hard time for throwing eggs, man.
All right.
L.A. County sheriffs say they want to charge Justin Bieber with felony vandalism for egging his neighbor's house Thursday night in Calabasas. Detectives say they, it's the first time they have any evidence against him, so they're kind of excited. For all the crap that he's done.
He's done so much and there have been so many reports. They must be getting driven crazy.
They've got now, video and audio of Justin and Justin admitting on the video and audio, yeah, I got another one for you. So he admits to throwing the eggs. So they've actually got something to go on this time.
Love it. Do you guys feel that a regular non-celebrity douchebag person would get arrested for throwing eggs at a neighbor's house?
I doubt it.
Well,
I don't know.
It's significant damage to this guy's house. Tens of thousands, claim the neighbor, because he lives in Calabasas and he's a rich dude. He has very expensive Venetian plaster on the outside of his house. It's not just stuccoed like you and I.
Ah.
This guy's got a high-end custom home build, and apparently, eggs not good for plaster.
Eggs is okay. Plaster's kryptonite?
I guess so. What's I don't know happening? Anything about it, but it looks like there was significant damage, so he could actually be brought up on charges, which is very exciting.
We want him to be deported, right?
Can you imagine how popular he'd be in jail?
Oh, yes. They would pass him around like a bag of Chips Ahoy's. Everybody gets a bite. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, his new tattoos couldn't be any worse than his old ones.
True. It is Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Lone Survivor.
Did you guys watch that?
I have not seen Lone Survivor yet, no.
A, it's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah?
Is it loud?
Yes.
Oh, you must have loved it.
B, I'm never going to complain again. Like, the things that happen to those guys.
Well, yeah, they're seals.
They get beat to hell.
The toughest of the toughest.
It's like unbelievable relenting. They
put them in the worst of the worst situations, our Navy SEALs.
And these four, unbelievable. I mean, it was a crazy story. And you walk out going, I have no problems. I will shut up from now on about my life.
But you had a chocolate milkshake that was extra thick.
That's right.
You didn't have to deal with that, so you're kind of on par with the SEALs.
Yeah, exactly. When did you make this decision that you weren't going to complain about anything anymore?
Yesterday when I was at the movie.
So it was before you told your milkshake story about how hard it was to drink your milkshake?
Yeah.
So you
they can relate to
so you're
that.
Sticking to the vow?
Well, not
so much.
I'm just saying, if you haven't seen it, it gives you a whole new appreciation of what some people are willing to do for this country so that you and I can make penis jokes. It's unbelievable.
They are absolutely better people than we are.
No question.
All right, they're good.
They are.
We
way
get
better.
It. Jeez. Right. I wish one was here now to put two in the back of your head.
But here's, and this is why, not to hijack your report here, Ralph.
No, when have you ever done that?
Brought sorry, up I already the movie. Did that. This is why this is such a fascinating real life story that these men were put in, which is they had to make that life or death decision. It's not a black or white situation. It's very gray. What would you have done, Kevin? Would you have killed all those kids just to keep the mission safe?
I think you...
Hey, spoilers!
I think that's pretty much out
there, Ralph.
I think
that is in the trailer. I think... it's hard to say. You can't shoot a kid.
You can't shoot a kid, right?
I think when it gets down to it, you can't shoot a kid.
Right.
The old dude I would have smoked. Not the kid. Back to you, Ralph.
No, keep going. It's fascinating.
Take some calls now on.
And what would you have done?
Lone Survivor.
You have
shoot the kid? Don't shoot the kid. Just kidding. Movie number two.
Those details about the film? Don't. It's up to you. Frozen, second at the box office. The Wolf of Wall Street was third. The Legend of Hercules and American Hustle tied at fourth place with $8.6 million each. The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, sixth. August, Osage County was seventh. Saving Mr. Banks, Paranormal Activity, The Marked Ones, ninth. And Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues. Rounding out the top movies at the box office this weekend. Another great move. Television. They know what they're doing. ABC has announced they're working on a TV series based on National Lampoon's Vacation. Very exciting to see a family go on vacation every week and things go bad.
What?
I don't know. This is just bad thinking.
It's going to be a series?
Yeah. Series will be rolled out in 2015.
Hey, we're in San Antonio. What could happen here?
Well, there's a bull. There were four vacation movies, starting in 83 and wrapping up with their trip to Vegas in 97. I heard they were planning on rebooting the film franchise with Rusty the young man of the series now being a man with a family of his own, and he has his own wacky family vacation misadventures.
Yeah, that sounds
so. Maybe they're going
shaky.
Not the film route, and they're going to put it on television instead. But we got that to look forward to.
Or not.
Speaking of television, tonight, Blacklist returns. Don't forget,
love
if you're
it.
A fan of that show, returns after its holiday hiatus. And, of course, The Bachelor tonight.
Nope.
Interesting article in Us Weekly magazine. Celebrities who watch The Bachelor, some you would expect, some I think you might be surprised by.
Okay.
Lea Michele, for example, from
she watches.
Glee. She watches,
mm-hmm.
right? Jennifer Aniston, you think she's a fan?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How about Keith Urban? Country artist extraordinaire Keith Urban.
I would think no.
He is a huge Bachelor fan. Howard Stern said this week what a huge fan of The Bachelor he is. And the most surprising on the list by far for me, Clint Eastwood.
What?
Clint Eastwood.
No way.
Huge Bachelor fan.
No way. You are lying.
No. Way.
No.
Way. Clint Eastwood watches The Bachelor.
You are lying.
No, I'm not. It just said he said it this week that he watches The Bachelor.
That's such a big liar.
So,
trying to make yourself feel bad.
So, when Petros and I are coming at you tomorrow, you'll know we have Clint Eastwood's best.
That was a one time. That was just to kick off the season deal.
Once a week. Yeah, one time a week. You're absolutely right. One time a week. Yeah.
Doesn't it move to your podcast now, though? The Ralph and P podcast is where we can find the Bachelor updates now?
No, it's not where it goes. It's going to follow Kevin's Shake Report. It's going to be run on right after the Shake Report. Last night was the Golden Globes. Of course, you can find a complete list of winners online, but just some of the highlights. 12 Years a Slave, Best Motion Picture Drama. Best Movie in a Comedy or Musical category, that'd be American Hustle. So congratulations to those folks. Best Dramatic TV Series, Breaking Bad. Best TV Series, Comedy or Musical, was the big surprise of the night. Brooklyn Nine-Nine won the award, as did Andy Samberg for Best Actor in a TV Comedy or Musical. Best Actor in a Drama went to Bryan Cranston. Best Actress in a Drama was Robin Wright for House of Cards. And Best Actress in a Comedy or Musical, Amy Poehler for Parks and Recreation. Another little bit of a surprise there. In terms of the film acting, not too many surprises. Matthew McConaughey and his co-star Jared Leto both won for Dallas Buyers Club. For Best Comedy or Musical Film, Leonardo DiCaprio won for The Wolf of Wall Street. Jennifer Lawrence won for Best Supporting Actress for American Hustle. Amy Adams also won for American Hustle. And for Best Director, Alfonso Cuarón, director of Gravity, rightly won that award. So congratulations to all the winners. Today's celebrity birthdays, Liam Hemsworth is 24 years old today. Brad Williams turns 30. Jill Wagner, Wipeout fame, is 35 years old. Orlando Bloom, she turns 37 years old today. Michael Pena's 38. Nicole Eggert and Tracy Bingham, were both on Baywatch together, are 42 and 46, respectively. Today, Patrick Dempsey's 48. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is 53. And the legendary comedian Rip Taylor celebrates his 80th birthday today.
Hey, da-dee-da-dee-da-da, this is Rip Taylor. Hey there, Sprinkle Genies. Did you know that midgets make up a small percentage of the population? About half, up to here. Hey!
See, really?
Midgets make up a small percentage of the population.
Ralph, really?
Ah, Rip Taylor!
Really?
Genius.
You're saying genius.
Gene
what was
to the
he,
us.
What was he famous for? As an actor or as a comedian?
As a Las Vegas comedian.
Okay. Did he ever have a TV show or a big movie or anything like that?
No, he just was always on television.
Let's
all
focus
the time.
On comedian. Seriously, that's his joke?
Wait till you see the confetti
flying.
I'm not
going to see any of that.
Oh, I just had my tubes tied. And he pulls out two cardboard tubes tied together with string.
Come on, Ralph.
You don't know, man.
If I did it, you would punch me in the face. He does it, you love it.
You don't even have to do anything. Make me want to punch you in the face.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Last night was the 71st annual Golden Globe Awards on TV. Early overnight ratings are in, by the way. Highest ratings in 7 years, preliminary numbers tell us.
Wow.
I think people love Tina Fey and people love Amy Poehler.
I agree.
I mean, don't you just have a good feeling about them hosting the thing?
I would rather watch just them doing stand-up than that show.
Right, I know. Somebody suggested early in the evening last night that they should just let them hand out the awards because they're so good on stage, and then you get... It's weird that actors who get paid to read things for a living convincingly are so terrible on stage doing that stuff that they do.
Yeah, I think it's just a completely different skill.
I guess it is. Now, Kevin, you didn't see much of the show. You said you only made it, what, about 35, 40 minutes of the program?
Yeah, maybe that far in.
So you did miss a few things. We do have some highlights for you. We played some earlier. We'll play some different ones for you this time around. Congratulations to a couple of K-Rock artists that won awards last night. Alex Ebert, who was in the band Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros, he won for his soundtrack work on the Robert Redford film All Is Lost. Congratulations to him. He looked dazed and confused up there on stage, by the way. And Jared Leto from 30 Seconds to Mars, who hadn't acted for, I think he said, 7 years before he took this role in the Dallas Buyers Club. He gave a very nice speech.
I'd like to use this opportunity to clear up a few things. I did not ever use any prosthetics in this film. That tiny little Brazilian bubble butt was all mine. It was a very transformative role, and I had to do a lot of things to prepare. One of the things that I did was wax my entire body, including my eyebrows. I'm just fortunate that it wasn't a period piece, so I didn't have to do full Brazilian. ladies, you know what I'm talking about, though. And so do some of you men, I think.
Now, you pointed out to Jared when we had him on to promote that movie that you thought he made a damn fine woman, right?
He's a hot chick. Yes.
They had some problems last night with the teleprompter. And I don't know why, again, this seems like technology that's been around a long time. It shouldn't be that difficult to have it working all the time with the right things on the screen in front of the right people. But last night, what's her name? Margot, I don't know her last name. She's in this Wolf of Wall Street with Jonah Hill. They came up together to present an award. She's very pretty, by the way. And the music ended. They're standing on stage, and they realize that what's on the teleprompter in front of them is not meant for them. Oh. It's for the people who are coming up after them. So then what do you do? So they're standing there. Jonah Hill realizes there's a problem and just flat out admits to the audience.
I'm not going to lie to you. Right now, they put up the wrong stuff on the teleprompter.
Yeah.
This is for Aaron Eckhart and Paula Patton. And
and I've never done this before, so I don't want to improvise on this. Okay.
Oh, thanks. Here we go.
So somebody comes from offstage and hands them a piece of paper, basically, with the information on it. They just read it off of a sheet of paper. It's very funny. Some people are just great on stage. Robert Downey Jr., for instance, every time he's on stage to give or an accepted award, he's always very funny. And last night was no exception. He was handing out the Golden Globe for Best Actress.
No matter whose name is called when I open this envelope, tonight I'm leaving here a winner. If Amy takes it and I get a racy photo of us backstage, Gucci lets me keep the tux.
That's Amy Adams.
If it's J. Louis, I chatter up and ride her coattails straight into Tina's after party. Should it be Ms. Delpy, it reaffirms the artistic integrity of sequels. If it goes Greta Gerwig's way, I shall finally stop associating her surname with a film about an angry inch. And yet, if it's Meryl, I could supplement my income by leasing her a shipping container to put it in with the 200,000 other awards she's received. Let's see how this plays out for me.
I mean, he just is always great on stage. I don't know why. Like you said, it's a different set of skills. He's just good at everything.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Diane Keaton came out last night. Now, she was accepting the Cecil B. DeMille Award for her former director, Woody Allen. They made a bunch of movies together back in the 1970s. Now, and Woody, of course, was not there.
I was going to say, what's his deal? He doesn't show up to anything?
He doesn't show up. Well, for starters, he has a standing musical gig. He plays in a band in a club in New York City every Monday night. So every time an award show is in Los Angeles on a Sunday or anywhere on a Monday, he flat out just won't go to it because he wants to play clarinet in a club, for starters. For seconders, he hates Los Angeles. Hates it. Almost never comes to Los Angeles anyway.
He sounds crazy, like a crazy old man.
He is a crazy old man. And according to some of the online chatter, a crazy old pedophile, too, by the way, if you believe some of the controversy from his award last night. But Diane Keaton is out presenting an award for him last night, and it was long and rambling, and who knows, maybe she was drunk, maybe she's just loopy like usual. But she ended it in a bizarre way where she started singing a song that apparently is a Girl Scout song.
What?
Here's a 70-year-old woman on stage accepting an award for Woody Allen, and here's how she ends her speech.
Make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver and the other's gold. A circle is round it has no end. That's how long you're going to be my friend. Here's to Woody.
And I think that that was to cap a story that she had told about how they started working together 45 years ago, and it's so rare in this business to make friends for life, and that that's how she feels about Woody. But how bizarre is that?
What happened?
And finally, I have to give credit to Johnny Depp, because he had not been announced as a presenter, but he did show up. You know, they usually have somebody hiding in the wings to, you know, to hand out the last big award. It's usually a Harrison Ford or a President Clinton, or it's some, you know, somebody with star power. So Johnny Depp comes out, and man, the energy and the excitement that he brings to an award show. Here he is unveiling the big award of the night, the best dramatic motion picture. Try to keep up with Johnny Depp.
And the Golden Globe Award goes to 12 Years a Slave.
Wow. How do you not get swept up in the excitement of that win? There's your Golden Globe highlights from last night.
What happened?
And now, a moment with Bean.
He's skating for America, but I think he's literally the first American ice skater of all the ice skaters who have skated for with Cuban blood, I think. You know?
That was a moment with Bean.
You know why that's so sweet? Because Bean always stops. He always pulls up short of that.
Yeah, right.
I'm the only one that really insists on finishing a thought no matter how bad it is. Yeah. But in that one, he was going to stick with to the end.
He likes to stay current.
He really does.
Yeah.
What's the old expression about when you about being in a hole and stop digging is the advice? I kept digging. I just made it worse and worse the longer I talked. By the way, speaking of Eddie Alvarez, the speed skater for the United States that's going to be in the Olympics, that's our own Nicole Alvarez's brother. They had an Olympics ad last night during the Golden Globes that prominently featured Eddie. So she's not lying about that. That's the real deal. He's really going.
Did we think she was lying?
No. No one did.
Just saying. Very impressive. That's all.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
David Cassidy, star of the legendary TV show The Partridge Family, busted for drunk driving again. TMZ says he was arrested Friday night in Los Angeles after cops pulled him over for making an illegal right-hand turn coming off the 405 freeway. Cops say Dave reeked of alcohol and failed his field sobriety test, but to their surprise, when he blew a breathalyzer, he was fine. Oh, no, wait. He blew a .19. So that's not good.
What is that, twice?
Well, he was arrested for drunk driving. Twice the limit, yeah. In terms of his arrests, he was arrested last year in New York for drunk driving, and then in Florida back in 2010. So that happened. $15,000 bail, but by the time he goes to court, he'll probably be behind bars for a while. Meanwhile, his representatives say he is returning to rehab at an undisclosed facility to try to get his problem under hand.
What's a guy like David Cassidy do for money these days, do you think?
He still performs a ton.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he does a lot of concerts and, you know, the Where Are They Now tours and that kind of stuff. A lot of nostalgia still out there for the Partridge Family.
State fairs and whatnot.
Yep, you got it.
We met him a few years ago in Las Vegas. Remember, we went to his show. We had a great time.
That's right.
That was a blast.
He and I knocked him back. Oh, wait a minute. Kevin left.
I was in Vegas. I'm not going to hang out with the Partridge Family member. There's drinking and gambling.
It's your loss, man. Good news. Speaking of music, halftime show just got a little bit funkier, man. Super Bowl, Bruno Mars. But wait, now added the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Now, is this in addition to
or with? Wouldn't that be both of those
things? I don't know. Like, are they going to perform separate from him or with him?
That is yet to be determined. And that's not unusual. I mean, Destiny's Child showed up for a brief second there during Beyonce's show, so that happened. And then Madonna was joined on stage by Nicki Minaj and MIA when she appeared. So for the Chili Peppers to step out, I'm guessing they'll probably do a couple Chili Pepper songs, probably with Bruno Mars playing and or singing along.
That's a weird mixture.
It is. It is an odd coupling. But I guess someone with the NFL said, wait a minute, who's our halftime act again? Do we have anybody's heard of, perhaps? Can we put them out there? Red Hot Chili Peppers? Yeah, they're available. Sure, bring them.
Major fan of K-Rock. I'd love to introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Maybe Hasselhoff will show up.
Get you right up there on stage.
Bring him out on stage. U2 gave its first concert, speaking of live music. First time in 4 years. Saturday night here in L.A. They were in town, of course, for the Golden Globes last night, where they won for their song, Ordinary Love, that they contributed to the Mandela movie soundtrack, but they performed at Sean Penn's third annual Help Haiti benefit at the Montage Hotel. U2 was a surprise guest, stepped down on stage and did I Will Follow, Desire, and Vertigo for the crowd. As you can imagine, they were well received.
I can imagine.
So pretty cool to see some new live performing from the U2 guys. Speaking of the Golden Globes last night, here are some of your big winners. Best Motion Picture Drama, 12 Years a Slave. No surprise there. It's been getting lots of critical acclaim. Best Motion Picture Comedy or Musical, American Hustle. A lot of music in that, right? They do the hustle?
I don't remember there really being any music in that so much.
Best Actor in a Movie, Comedy, or Musical, Leonardo DiCaprio for The Wolf of Wall Street. Best Actor to Drama, Matthew McConaughey, Dallas Buyers Club. All right, all right, all right.
All right, all right, all right.
Cate Blanchett won for Best Actress in a Drama with Blue Jasmine. Best Supporting Actress in... Best Supporting Actor in a Drama went to Jared Leto, also for Dallas Buyers Club.
She was great.
She is a great actor.
Yep.
Certainly wasn't that. Best Animated Film was Frozen. Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy or Musical, Amy Adams, won for American Hustle. And TV, Breaking Bad was the best drama series, according to the Golden Globe voters. Bryan Cranston also won for his role.
That was sort of the only expected ones, right? I mean, you really sort of thought they'd give it to him after the last season.
Yeah, pretty much everyone saw that coming. Best Comedy or Musical on television. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, that was the big surprise of the evening. And also Andy Samberg winning for Best Actor in a TV Comedy or Musical.
That was a little shocking, although we all liked the show.
Yeah. Best TV Movie, Behind the Candelabra. No surprise there. Michael Douglas also won for his performance as Liberace. John Voight won for Best Supporting Actor in a miniseries or TV movie with Ray Donovan, his role on that show. So, not a lot of surprises last night, but a very entertaining show overall, I thought.
Nope.
Well, you didn't even watch it.
I watched it for like 35 minutes, and I just saw people wandering around a room trying to find their way to the stage. That's it.
Maybe,
I was out.
Yeah, maybe award shows really aren't for you so much.
I think that's an important lesson.
Steer clear next time. Whitney Houston's daughter, Bobby Christina Brown, surprised everyone by announcing she was already married to her adopted brother, Nick Gordon. That skeeved some people out.
Yeah.
She tweeted a picture of their hands with their wedding rings along with the hashtag, happily married. Apparently, Whitney's mom, Sissy Houston, not too pleased with the event.
Well, it seems super creepy, but...
They're not blood-related.
Right, I mean, that's...
They've just known each other since they were kids. Look.
It's like Dexter and his sister. Sort of, yeah, but that was all twisted,
yeah,
you know?
There's a lot of murder involved in that relationship, not sure. So much in this one. Ibby is...
Well, that thinking, right?
Not really, because what if you got married to someone you knew in elementary school? What if you grew up alongside someone, they were your next-door neighbor or something, and you knew them forever?
I just think if you live as brother and sister, it seems weird, but if it's adopted, clearly there's no bloodline, so...
I think that would be an interesting... phoning topic with our Kevin and me listeners. I don't know that we've ever done that. You had
you
a
married
relationship
your adopted
with
brother
with a step sibling. Yeah.
Regardless, look, who's to say?
Me.
I feel like those kids are doomed anyway, just being raised by Whitney.
If they make it work, then all the better. Look, I think they have a better shot than Pamela Anderson and her new husband.
Yeah.
She remarried her ex-husband, Rick Solomon. That name rings a bell. Maybe you remember him as Paris Hilton's co-star. In her sex tape, One Night in Paris. That's where a lot of people know his name. They were married for a couple of months back in 2007 in a brief ceremony during a 90-minute break between magic shows in which Pamela Anderson was appearing. That's romantic. That is some romance right there.
That's hot.
But they're back together again. And so, good luck, you crazy kids. Maybe you can
did she also marry Tommy Lee twice, Ralph? Am I remembering that incorrectly? Because it seems like she...
No, I think she did, on and off.
I don't
think...
know. I don't
seems
have
like she definitely like gives her men another chance, even though they break up.
I don't have my Pam Anderson pie chart handy. You have to have a series of graphs in order to keep her relationship
that's a complicated
status
one
straight. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Liam Hemsworth, he's 24 years old today. Comedian Brad Williams celebrates his 30th birthday. Jill Wagner's 35. Orlando Bloom is 37. Michael Pena, very talented actor, is 38 years old today. Very quiet music. Very quiet. Oh, there we go. Nicole Eggert's 42 years old. Tracy Bingham, 46. Pam Anderson's buddies from Baywatch.
Pam Anderson.
Patrick Dempsey's 48 years old. Julia Louis-Dreyfus celebrates her 53rd birthday. And comedian Rip Taylor, we've been celebrating his birthday all day long. Rip Taylor, the legend, 80 years old today. Never looked better. Full head of hair, too, that Rip Taylor. It's amazing. He's kept all his hair all these years. Where's my Rip?
Hey, this is Rip Taylor. Hey there, Sprinkle Genies. Did you know that midgets make up a small percentage of the population? About half, up to here. Hey!
Woo! Is he like a rodeo clown? What?
Oh, come on, man.
What's up with that guy?
Come on, you Sprinkle Genies.
What does that mean?
You know what it means.
I don't.
Yeah, you do.
All right.
Love Rip Taylor. He's the best. He's a legend, and I love him, and I wish him a happy birthday.
Good luck to both of you.
That's from the Bloodhound Gang album that he introduces, by the way, that little piece of tape. You can hear the whole thing.
Dear God.
You have any interest. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin DeBean Show, we have Chris Cluey in the studio, former NFL punter.
You got screwed, man. You got railroaded.
Breckin Meyer will be here talking about Men at Work. We have Brad Williams, who did celebrate his 30th birthday in Las Vegas over the weekend and ended up in the hospital.
Well, he had two beers.
That's a surprise to me. That seems like an amateur move from Brad, who I would expect better from.
That's
like, he's
I'm
a guy who knows how to party, right?
Yeah. How much alcohol do you think he can hold in that body of his?
But he knows
but
that.
But he would know that by now.
Yeah,
I'm with
he's been that size his whole adult life. He knows how much he can drink before he ends up in the hospital. I'm
everybody
just
knows how much they can drink. And then they drink much
it.
More than they can.
Yeah, that's true.
That's Look, true, but
hear my whole thing.
He Stop ended it. Up... You don't know anything about drinking. Stop talking about it.
Hear my whole thing.
He also doesn't know anything about the... man. Tell me what color that is over there.
He also doesn't know anything about this story.
In the hospital, drinking on his 30th birthday.
Yes.
He's going to go to Brazil with Kevin for the World Cup.
Yes.
Kevin will kill him.
No.
If Brad attempts to keep up with Kevin, Brad will be dead.
Well, maybe.
Everybody's got to go from something.
That's right. That's the way to go, right?
You live forever?
That's the way to go.
Right.
And apparently we're being strong-armed again into the Bachelor Report.
That's what I'm talking about.
With Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis.
It's 1 year. So, 1 year.
El
Bachelor.
Apparently.
Latino.
So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.